This is PFW in progress.
All right, listen up, guys. It was the night before Christmas,
and all through the house, not a creature was stirring except the four ass coming in the rear in standard
2x2 cover formation.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Relax, we got everything in this mug, man. Look at this: CD, CB, TV, telephone, full bar, VHS.
Mind if we hear some tunes?
Hey, that'll work.
Any Christmas music?
This is Christmas music.
Paul Perillo.
It's Christmas Eve. Families, stockings, chestnuts, Rudolph and Frosty. Any of these things ring a bell? Go join the party. Have some champagne. You're making me feel like Ebenezer Scrooge. You pull out, Mr. De Niro. Do you think the baby can handle a little sip? That baby's ready to tin bar.
And Andy. And Andy?
I think it's very depressed this time of year. He thought he was God's greatest gift, you know?
Andy Hart.
Sorry to waste your time.
No problem at all.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Some guy named Tom.
A machine gun.
Ho, ho, ho.
PFW in progress.
This is their idea of Christmas. I gotta be here for New Year's.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
This is it, the Christmas Eve show, Tom.
Yep. And what movie is that from, Gary?
Die Hard.
That was Die Hard?
Wow.
I thought it was, but then I wasn't sure because I didn't really remember.
Well, I know the one guy. Ho,
yeah, that's why I thought it was Die Hard.
Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
But I didn't think the ones before that were from...
I haven't seen it in a while, so...
That's a good movie.
Oh, yeah, it's a great movie.
Great movie. Anyway, it's a Christmas movie.
Yep, just like The Godfather.
That's right. Hey, it's as far as we're concerned, it's Christmas Eve here at Gillette Stadium, but we're in full swing. Guys are here getting ready for the game in Jacksonville. Bill Belichick had his press conference today. A lot of good special teams talk.
There wasn't anything good about that press conference.
No. You need no-dos to be in that press conference. Locker room's not open until 1:30?
Nope.
Is that right? Are they going to open it today?
I think so. Why
it's been pretty quiet this week. Guys not really talking.
Yeah, everyone's got the muzzle on. I guess that helps you win football games.
That's okay, as long as you win. Just win, baby.
What if they lose? Can they talk next week?
Well, if they lose, then and the Jets win. There's going to be a lot of tight you-know-whats walking around.
And not only that, Fred, we keep talking about the Jets, but obviously Jacksonville would get a win because they beat the Patriots. If Denver beat Cincinnati, then you're going into the final week. If Jacksonville, the Jets, and Denver win and the Patriots lose,
could be out.
They're gone.
Oh, my God.
So can you imagine going into the last week with that scenario?
That would be...
And for the record, everyone, that's why I complain that some places don't have internet. Because if you're in the Jets press box, you won't be able to, you might not be able to check the other games going on because they don't have wireless internet. Though those are the reasons why you need that kind of stuff, because you're going to be looking at four different games.
Oh my God.
Trying to decide the playoffs. That'll be something.
Look, I'm going to have to travel with a defibrillator because that could be the big one. That could be the big one for me.
Can you imagine if Mangini wins this division?
Oh my God. We'll be on lockdown. They won't let us talk.
Yeah.
I can't even think about that. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. We're here to take your emails, your phone calls at 508-543-7482. Watched Brett Favre last night in the NFL Network in probably, you know how they had the Snowball game and the Ice Bowl and the greatest game ever played, the Giants game.
Was not it.
This was probably the worst game ever.
It's in the top 10. It's hard to say because you'd have to go back and think of all the bad games you saw.
Right.
This is, you can put this, any human being that's ever watched football can put this in their top 10 worst games of all time.
I know it was raining and, you know, the temperature was in the 30s.
It had nothing to do with it.
I mean, terrible football. But I've seen good games in worse conditions, you know?
And I honestly think that Brad Childress is one of the top three worst coaches in the NFL. I was totally on board with Collinsworth. You have a guy who's mobile, okay, and you're using him like he's Brad Johnson. If you're not going to take advantage of him running out of the pocket, why is he in there? This is a game where one 30-yard scramble could have been the difference, and he's got him as a drop-back passer.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand that.
You know, and the whole thing with Brett Favre, you know, which is, look, Brett Favre, great player, Hall of Famer, you know, first ballot, if possible. but he's holding his team back at this point.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
And Chris Collinsworth said at one point, you know, all the Packer fans want him to come back for another year.
I don't think that's true. That's not true at all.
I think a good, you know, portion of those fans want him to retire with dignity so they can move on.
And you can go to a Packers message board any day of the week, and that argument will be going on. Some people will say, well, let him, you know, we want him here. Some will say, I think it's time to move on. So there's no, that statement is incorrect.
I mean, they love their Brett Favre, and that's great.
Yeah.
You know, but
he's done a lot for the franchise.
But at this point, you can't move to the next phase of the Green Bay Packers until he leaves.
If you're a Packers fan, you're looking at some of the better teams in the league, and you're saying to yourself, we have the youngest team in professional football right now. How are we going to get to that level? Because by the time these guys get good, Brett Favre's going to have to retire.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we have all this young talent, and then we have this old quarterback.
Yep.
It's not mixing in well.
It's not mixing in well. You know, it's like Marino when he was with the Dolphins. I mean, they're still trying to recover from him leaving and staying too long.
But the thing is, Fred, too, though, just because you get rid of Brett Favre, you might have that problem. But
That's true.
That doesn't mean, though, you still hang on to him like grim death. You still have to take a shot, you know what I mean?
But you can't start developing any quarterback until he leaves. And now, you know, the guy that they've got there, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he was brought in by the regime before, you know, this one, and now they don't even know if he's the guy.
Right.
So, I just don't know. I don't know. I don't think that was properly handled last night. You got to bring up that side of the argument, and they never addressed it.
I'll tell you what else you can argue. I know they probably wouldn't have made the playoffs, but the Vikings were still in the playoffs. And a couple of years ago, the Cowboys on Thanksgiving were in the same predicament where they were kind of in it, but they probably weren't going to go. They started Drew Henson in the first half, remember?
Yeah.
And Parcells said, this isn't working out. We still have a chance to win this game. I'm going to Testaverde. They blew the Bears out in the second half, won the game. I was a little surprised that in a game that close, he didn't go back to Brad Johnson saying, you know, wow, we can pull this thing out here. We're, you know, we got an outside shot at the playoffs.
That's true. Yeah.
What is that telling your? I know you want to develop this guy for the future. Got no problem with that. But you're still alive. What's that telling the guys there who are fighting every, you know, practicing since the summer? You know, fighting for the playoffs. It's, I don't know. I don't like Brad Childress at all. Not one bit.
Yeah. He seems like a coordinator type.
Exactly.
You know?
He's a guy that's. You want him as your offensive coordinator? I'm fine with that.
Yeah. So. As far as the production, you know, same thing. Nothing new with that. You know, I know we always give our, at least I give my little update on how I think they're progressing over there. And I just wish they'd get some different commercials. See the same damn commercials every week, you know, because I watch it on the HD channel. And,
yeah, see, I don't have HD yet.
You don't have HD yet?
You want to go talk about my salary on the air? Because I'm more than willing to get an HD TV, Fred, at any point.
There's priorities, Tom.
I understand.
You know, so you don't eat for a week.
I don't eat anyway. The priority is I have a wedding coming up.
Uh-oh. Well, your wife's parents are supposed to pay for that.
That's not how it works anymore, Fred.
It didn't work for me either. No, I paid for my wedding.
Well, you know, people don't have that. Not everyone always has that kind of money, so you got to try to do. Hey, Gary, if I invite you to my wedding, would you come or should I just not invite you? Like, would you?
I'd be happy to come, Tom.
All right, because I was going to invite you, but if you're not going to come, I'm not going to waste the save the date card and everything else.
I can
if
understand that.
If you feel strongly
question.
About it, I'd come.
All right.
You know,
you're coming, Fred.
Where is it?
It's in New York, and you're coming.
Oh, it's in New York.
Listen, I'm telling you right now, you, Andy, and Paul better get your asses to that wedding, because if you don't come, you guys will make the list, and you don't want to get on that list.
When
I'm
is it,
telling you
Tom?
Right
when
now.
Is it?
June 29th.
Oh, we got a Revs game.
He's got a Revs game. June 29th.
Kids out of school. Okay. We'll see.
There's nothing to do June 29th. I made it that day purposely.
Is
because
that a Friday or a Saturday?
It's a Friday.
It's a Friday.
Yeah.
You're having it on a Friday?
Yes. Okay. And you're coming.
We'll get a van. We'll all come up together.
You three better be there.
Why would you want us there?
There's going to be problems when I get back. I can tell you that much.
Why would you want us there?
I don't know, because no one else is coming.
The last wedding I went to here was Paul's. I had pneumonia, and I watched football on a mini TV during the ceremony.
Well, I can guarantee you this wedding will be fun. You have my word.
Okay.
If there were a game, Tom would have a TV at the altar.
There you go. All right. Well, that's something to look forward to. June 29th, huh? Okay. That's.
You'll be getting the save the date card in the mail soon.
How far a drive is that from here?
It's 3 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
No.
That's not bad. It's not like Buffalo.
No.
Buffalo's like 8 hours, right?
No, it's.
What are you, near Albany? No, that's further.
It's in her hometown. You're not going towards Albany. You're going the other way.
Where's her hometown?
It's 40 minutes east of Albany.
Oh, okay.
So you're not going towards Albany. You'd be going the other way. It's like once you get to the New York Thruway, it's three exits.
How many? A lot of people?
No, that's not that many. Like 135,
that's
140.
That's a pretty big wedding.
It's not that big.
I had like 40 people at mine.
Well, I know three that better be there.
Well, all right. Okay. You're not inviting Jared Puffer?
No. Do you want to know the people I'm inviting?
Oh, you
from,
have,
from
if,
here?
If you feel like telling me, sure.
Well, they don't have to come, but I'm inviting Gary, you, Paul, Andy, Bilo, and Maura.
Okay. All right. Good.
Hello, Mr. Kraft.
If he wants to come, he's more than welcome.
All right.
He won't go, but he might give me a gift.
Yeah, that's the thing. You send out the – there was this guy who had the – he got the home addresses for the top 100 CEOs in the country. And on his wedding, he sent them all invitations, just, you know, like as if he knew them. And so half of these guys figured he did know them, and they had their secretary send them gifts.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah. That's a good scam. All right, let's get back to football because I know everyone's, you
know. Well, and they signed the punter today.
That would be let's get to football.
Right. Todd Sauerbrunn.
Yep. I love the move.
Well, I mean, he's a good kicker. His only problem was
he's got no problems. Because, one, I don't mind if he takes steroids, so that doesn't bother me. Two, that idiot.
Why is a kicker taking steroids?
I don't know. He's pretty jacked. Two, the ephedrine suspension, that's a freaking joke. Because I have a big bottle of ephedrine at my house. So if you can't have it, I have it, so you can come and arrest me. Ephedrine, all that does is give you energy, and you might drop a couple of pounds. So who cares if he took ephedrine? In my opinion, unless there's other off-the-field problems, which there might be, because Shanahan was pretty mad at him.
Well, he was mad at him for some other things, so there was, I don't know what was going on over there.
But if it's only steroids and ephedrine, I'm all for it.
But he was a good punter.
He's a great punter.
So this is good.
If you're asking me if I want him, Bogger, or Sam Malone,
right?
I want Sauerbrunn.
Okay, and he can hold?
Yeah, but I think Castle's going to hold.
Yeah. So maybe the punting issue's over.
Yeah.
You know,
I can tell you one thing. He's a hell of a lot better than Ken Walter.
Yeah.
So that's not even close.
Well, when Belichick was asked, did he talk to Shanahan about Sauerbrunn before he signed him, Belichick didn't say no. He shook his head no.
Yeah.
But there was nothing audible. I thought that was interesting.
And what do you think about – now, steroids obviously helps you perform better in the NFL.
Yes.
Ephedrine is a drug that provides energy and weight loss.
It's a weight loss pill.
So you get the same suspension for taking an ephedrine pill as you do taking steroids, and I'm supposed to hear how great the NFL steroid policy is?
It's a banned substance. Anything banned.
I think that's a joke.
Well, you can't say one to the other. You got to make it across the board. Well, you get a stiff. Let's put it this way. You get a stiffer penalty in the NFL for steroids than you do marijuana or cocaine.
So you're telling me you can snort coke, but you can't take
ephedrine? You can't snort it. For a first offense for those kind of substances, you get on the program.
That's a joke.
Second offense, you get the four-game suspension. For steroids, it goes right away to the four-game suspension.
I think that's a joke.
Because one is cheating and the other is an addiction. Or whatever. It's a, you know.
So if you take something I have currently in my bathroom, if you take that, you get suspended for 4 games.
I don't know what you have in your bathroom.
But if you're snorting cocaine up your nose, you just get some help.
Well,
that's a great program.
Well, one is cheating and the other isn't.
According to them.
According to them. You know,
because
a lot of guys, if a lot of guys would take the steroids. Okay, so I get on a program. Big deal. I'm still playing.
I'm not talking about the steroids. I'm talking about the ephedrine. I think it's a joke that you can take cocaine and not get suspended, but take a dietary supplement that, okay, may or may not be harmful. There's still questions about that. But you get a 4-game suspension for that and not cocaine? Ridiculous.
Yeah. No, That's the NFL. There must be some other attributes to taking a Federer.
No, there isn't. One fat guy for the Vikings who shouldn't have been taking it because he was 360 pounds and running up a hill in 100-degree weather took a Federer and died.
Corey Stringer.
So
they banned
it. I'm not buying this at all.
Okay. Well, anyway, Todd Sauerbrunn is the now punter for the New England Patriots. I assume he'll be playing in the game.
I would assume so.
It's not like you need to get adjusted to the scheme or anything when you're the punter.
No.
Just catch the ball and kick it.
Plus, he's a pretty good tackler.
Is he?
Yeah, I've seen him hit some guy. I mean, he's a big guy
is
for
that
a punter.
From the steroids?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's a big guy. People say, why did he take steroids? But don't you remember him? The guy's huge. He's got these huge arms. He looks like Ed Hockley
is that
as
right?
a punter.
Okay.
Well. He laid some good licks on people during his time.
Why didn't he get picked up sooner by another
That's
team?
The one question I'm wondering. You know, it's kind of like the Chad Jackson question. Well, how come he dropped to the second round? Now we're kind of finding out why.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I posed in the roster report to those guys. That's the one concern I have. Why was he on the street all year? You think at some point during the year, there's got to be a team that has a bad punter and said, hey, Todd Sauerbrunn's out there.
Right.
Unless, and this does happen, I think you probably know this, guys can kind of get blackballed a little bit. Maybe people were calling Shanahan and he was...
Yeah.
Directing him away. Now, we know Belichick doesn't give a darn about anything other than what you do on the field.
Yep.
So if he can punt, that's all he cares about.
I just wonder if there was some other stuff, but, you know, whatever.
There probably was, because it doesn't make sense that he took ephedrine, which is something that, you know, you can still buy over the internet. And he got suspended for 4 games, and then Shanahan was so disgusted that he cut him. You got to feel that there was something in between A and B.
Well, whatever it is, it's not enough for the Patriots to look the other way. So, hey, all I care is that they gets a 44 net average in this game coming up because field position will probably be pretty important.
You go back to the Miami game, Fred. Do you want to take
absolutely.
A chance with Danny Bogger getting bad punts off in a game that could be a defensive low-scoring game? Just think about it. If the Patriots and Dolphins switch punters in that game, as bad as the Patriots played, as bad as they were dominated, maybe they win that game.
Yeah. Now, I hear Sauerbrunn's neighbors are very happy that he got signed because all night he'd be
joke.
Just practicing punting all day, and it was just, you know, broken windows, and, you know, it was just terrible. So they're happy now he's got a job, and, you know, because you got to stay in shape some way, right?
I guess. I don't. If you're a punter, why do you have to stay in shape?
Well, you got to keep your rhythm. You got to keep kicking.
I don't know. Ken Walter didn't look like he was in too good a shape.
No.
Well, we saw how he punted, so maybe you have something there.
Yeah. All right. Web radio at patriots.com. Is a guy's coming down today?
I don't know.
You don't know? Felger coming by today, Gary? He is. Shaking. We got to talk to Mike. See what's going on with him and Richard Seymour.
Oh, that's right.
Or with everyone else. I want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
You know, see what the problem is.
Well, Felger is an idiot. It could be a lot of things.
he's not paying you yet?
No, he's still giving me those stupid gift cards.
So when he starts paying you, he won't be an idiot anymore, right?
No, he'll still be an idiot.
Oh, okay.
The good thing about Felger is he knows he's an idiot.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. I guess nothing else really big going on. There was a report on NFL Network by Adam Schefter last night that Art Schell's going to get canned.
Yeah, we should touch on that for a second.
Raiders came out with a statement calling him a rumor monger, anti-Raider. He didn't get it from a reliable source, but they didn't deny it.
No, and whether you like Schefter or you don't, his response was perfect.
Yeah.
Nowhere's in there did they say they were not going to fire Art Schell, and if they do, they'll prove me wrong.
Right.
If they don't fire him, they'll prove me wrong.
Right.
Here's the problem I have with the Raiders, Fred. They hired Art Schell because nobody wanted a job. They offered the job to like 11 people. They all turned it down, okay? So they had to hire Art Schell. It wasn't Art Schell's idea to bring in an offensive coordinator from 1962 who was the mayor of Idaho. That was Al Davis's idea. So they're going to fire Art Schell. I don't know if he's doing a good job or not, to be honest with you. Who knows with that team?
Right.
But who the heck are they going to bring in?
I know.
Nobody wants that job. You couldn't give that job away.
Look, as much as I've, you know how I was talking earlier about Brett Favre needs to kind of step aside so that team can go forward. Al Davis needs to be the emperor has no clothes in Oakland.
And you know what the problem is there, Fred? Like, the league really needs the Raiders to be good because they're one of their premier.
Sure.
They have a huge fan base. But the problem with him is not even the league can step in and kind of say, because, you know, if you, he's like a little kid. If you tell him to do one thing, you know what they should do? They should come in and say, hey, Al, stay as owner and president. You're doing a heck of a job. Then he'll probably get mad and say, what? They think, no, I'm going to retire.
Right. No, I mean, because he's just not making sound decisions.
No. I mean, you bring in Art Shell for a year. Now you're going to fire him. Look at the players they have. The offensive line can't block. My only point is, like I said, I'm not saying Art Shell's doing a good job, but who else are you going to bring in?
Yeah, who's going to take that job?
No good college coach wants that job. No good coordinator wants that job. You think if they offered that job to Dean Pease, he'd take it? He wouldn't even think about it.
It's not worth the headache. It's really not worth the headache.
That, you talk about Michael Vick being a coach killer, go to Oakland, see how your career takes off.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. All right, well, what other NFL news? Big game coming up Christmas Day. We're looking forward to that with the Eagles and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, other than the Patriots game, the one I'm going to be most interested in watching. I think the Eagles are going to make it a game. I know you think Cowboys are going to blow them out.
I think the Cowboys are going to rip them apart.
Nope.
And you know I don't say that unless I really think it. But I have a feeling that the Cowboys are going to take them behind the woodshed.
Well, I think it's either that, yeah. I mean, I think. You know, there's definitely the potential for that in this game.
Haven't won a division title since 1998.
Eagles kind of have to play almost a perfect game
mm-hmm.
for this one, and the Cowboys don't.
Dallas too physical for them. I just think the Giants haven't been really running the ball well. I think the Cowboys just line up, smash Marion Barber and Julius Jones down their throat.
All right, so you all ready for Christmas?
I'm all ready, Fred.
You're
except
all set?
That the only problem is I have a trip to Jacksonville to get out of the way. Other than that, I'm all set for Christmas.
Although
I should say this is the Bengals game, the Colts game, the Bears game, and now this game have that playoff atmosphere to it. So
yeah.
I'm really excited about this game, even though we have to travel on Christmas.
Okay. Mike Felker's here a little early.
Yeah, it's, you know, you see enough of this guy to begin with. Now he's coming in at 12:20.
No, it's insufferable.
We have some questions for you.
I'm sick of me too. Just FYI.
Yeah.
Ray Sugar Bear Hamilton.
Yeah.
Is going to be calling me pretty soon, and so we're going to jump in and do a little Sugar Bear interview if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
When he calls.
All right. Well, that's cool.
I mean, he's a good, worthwhile guy talking to. Defensive line coach.
Yeah, I heard him earlier this week on another radio station.
Yeah, making over our show now.
They didn't even ask the good questions.
What?
If you're asking Ray Sugar Bear Hamilton, forget Patriots, Jaguars. He's not going to tell you anything, right? What would you want to talk to him about?
Did he think Snoop Dogg did a good job in the movie? Isn't that who you're talking about?
Well, I mean...
Oh, I thought you were talking about...
What are you talking about?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Justin Vargas' father.
I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Isn't that guy
That's
called...
That's Huggy Bear.
Oh, Huggy Bear. Who's Huggy... Ray Sugar Bear Hamilton?
Ray Hamilton. He was a defensive lineman with the Patriots.
Oh. He should be banned from the program
after
that sort of comment.
He was the guy
I know
in 1976
I know
with the
talking,
Phantom
yes.
roughing the passer. Okay.
He only has...
You threw me off with the Sugar Bear. So I'm sorry, I didn't grow up in New England. I don't know everybody's cute little nickname.
Obviously. He only has the most infamous roughing the passer
yes,
call
I...
in the history of roughing the passer calls.
That's when they used to let you hit the
right.
quarterback.
And now,
yeah.
you know, I mean, what does he see now?
Oh, he'd be thrown in jail for what he did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So obviously the question would be the roughing the passer call.
Absolutely.
Don't ask that.
That is so cliche.
No, I'm not asking about 76. I'm asking about what does he think about now when he looks out onto the field.
Oh, okay, but still, don't get into 76.
Ask him if
he's so tired of talking about that.
He certainly is. That's true.
You know. He even said it's only you guys are the ones that bring it up all the time. I don't even think
that he thinks about it every night before he goes to sleep.
Oh, sure,
don't let him kid you. You get you have a play like that affects that kind of game. You don't forget about that.
Well, he's done a lot of things since then.
Doesn't matter.
What are your questions for me? Hi ho.
Well, I want to know what's going on. Why did you get shunned earlier in the week? Because I read your article. In fact, we've got it right there. And there was nothing I thought that Richard Seymour would read and say. You know, why is he doing this? Why is he dissing me? I didn't see that. So the only thing we could think of, it was a Herald-wide diss.
I mean, maybe. I mean, there's been a little of that going on with Corey Dillon.
And you
sure.
are the face of the Herald.
Yeah.
You know?
Tomasi and I guess, yeah. So, I mean, it could have been Corey Dillon related.
Yeah.
But Richard and the defensive line have talked to John in the interim. It could be support for Bill Belichick, who...
That's what I thought, but why go after you? You had nothing to do with that.
Hates us like poison for the gossip columns.
Yeah.
If it is that... Sort of weak sauce, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought you did everything you could to say that.
Way.
I think you did everything you could to say that Warren was more deserving, yet Seymour's still a great player, and this is just, we're talking this year.
You know what I think in my gut? And I don't know for sure. I think Seymour wants you to kiss his ass. I think he's one of those guys.
Well, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of strange.
And you know what? If Seymour's mad at Felger, then he should be mad with about 90% of the fans and the rest of the media, because we all think that Ty Warren should go over Richard Seymour. You won't see too many people saying, if you had to choose between the two, which one would you take? No, there's not many people that would say Richard Seymour.
I will say the last maybe three games, Seymour's really stepped it up.
Well, he's not having a terrible year.
But he's a great player. Yeah.
Overall, I think Warren
We're
has
asking
had a,
if
you
you're
know,
deciding
yeah, exactly.
between the two this year.
Exactly.
And it's enough with the he's playing next to Richard Seymour. Listen, Ty Warren's blowing people up. I don't care who he's playing next to. That guy's having a phenomenal year. He deserves to be in the Pro Bowl.
And go look. If you just look at the game sheets, you know, short of going back and watching every game over again, but I bet you'll find teams are running right just as much as they're running left. I mean, you know, the whole thing that, yeah, they're running away from Seymour and to Warren because no one runs at Richard Seymour. I bet it's pretty equal. I bet, you know, and I mean, you tell me, Tom, in your mind's eye, have you noticed teams going one way over the other more than...
I actually think that Warren's
the best... They go between the tackles more than anything.
I think Warren's the best run-stuffing defensive end in pro football, to be honest with you.
I agree.
Yeah. I think you run his side, there's a good chance you're getting stopped in the backfield.
Well, even look at one of the biggest defensive plays this year was early in the season when they had the safety.
Buffalo.
And that was caused by Warren.
Yeah. He's been making plays
He didn't get credit for it, but that was caused by him.
Felger's exactly right. If you had to pick... There's probably two Patriots since day one that have made plays. It would be Samuel and Warren. Are
and let's
the two
face
guys
it, you know, the fact, the
start
question,
of the year.
The question I was going to ask him before he next questioned me was, do you think you all are hurt by the fact that you're all considered to play the same position?
Right.
Because
you play that is a problem.
Four. You know, what you're looking at there is Warren, Seymour, and Wilfork going after the same spot. Are they going to take two players at the same spot from the same team? I mean, I don't think so. So it really kind of does come down to a pick a Patriots defensive lineman kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And why do they do that? Because Warren lines up at end.
No, but he's usually covered. You know, he's not the outside guy on the line. And I think if you look at most 4-3s, whether it's Taylor or Freeney, those guys are
You mean they bring a linebacker over there?
I don't consider Warren a tackle. I consider him an end.
Well, the league doesn't. And they actually changed that a couple of years ago, and I think a lot of it had to do with the Patriots because Seymour was – at one point with ends and not tackles, and what do you do with them? But he's not truly an end.
He goes in as a tackle.
I think that's a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with 3-4. It's selfless, you know. You give it up when you play in a 3-4. All right. We should probably get then to some emails. Mm-hmm. If any minute, Ray Hamilton will be calling.
I mean, I think we got 10 to 15 solid minutes.
Now, can you get Huggy Bear, too? Because now, I'd like to talk to him.
Is Huggy Bear Snoop Dogg
Starsky and Hutch? Yeah, that's who it was. Okay. That's why you threw me off, because I heard bear, and that's the first thing I thought of. Because we were just, the other day, we were just talking about Justin Vargas's father, mm-hmm. and I had Huggy Bear on the mind.
Now, Justin Vargas, the running back from USC, his father's...
Huggy Bear.
I thought Huggy Bear was a fictional character. See, when you started
talking...
He was
in Starsky and Hutch.
I thought that was Snoop Dogg's character.
It is, in Starsky and Hutch. But he's a real person, Felger.
So you're saying
they didn't have a cartoon playing the character.
The original Starsky and Hutch Huggy Bear is Vargas' father.
Okay, well, that's what we had to say. Snoop Dogg is not his father.
Yeah. From USC?
Yes.
His father was the original Huggy Bear. Okay.
And we were just talking about him the other day, and when you said bear, I started thinking of, God, this guy's all over the place now.
All right.
It's not easy for us.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Mike, you all ready for the holidays?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
He doesn't like Christmas.
You're going to Jacksonville, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What'd you get Sarah?
He likes Thanksgiving. He
right,
like
what did
Christmas.
I get Sarah? That's the issue. I've got to venture out there at some point.
You haven't done it yet?
You know, it's the 22nd.
It's just brutal out there. It's brutal.
Shop online. That's why they have the internet.
It's a bigger pain in the ass shopping online than in person.
How about a PFW subscription?
I love that.
There you go.
Do you think she'd go for it?
I'll give you the season ticket holder discount.
Wow, there's too many people out there. Excuse me for being chauvinist, but there's too many women driving around out there.
In SUVs that they can't handle.
No offense to the Orientals, but.
Basically.
All right, let's start it off with Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa. He says, you guys have talked about how many people can't see the NFL Network games because they're crappy cable providers. I don't have a lot of sympathy since my cable provider, which is Mediacom, is in the middle of a pissing match with the CBS Broadcasting Company, which means they are going to pull CBS off the air on January 5th.
That should be illegal.
I don't think you can do that, right? This means that unless the Pats pull their heads out of their orange firewater hole, I will not be able to watch the Pats lose their playoff game in the comfort of my own home. Wow,
why,
Josh is just upset.
Is that going to be on the NFL Network?
No. It'd be on CBS.
Oh, CBS, yeah. He's saying.
I want to see how many people I can piss off with this theory. We all know that Brewski is playing some of his worst football these days. We all know that steroids are much more prevalent than
what
the public is willing to admit.
This.
I wonder that after Brewski's stroke, if he stopped taking the juice.
And what's your official position on that sort of hot potato?
You'd have to ask Andy Hart. He has a strong opinion on it.
What's his strong opinion?
I just think he's getting a little older. I mean, you know.
I don't know. I don't know what I can say about this kind of stuff on the air, so I'm just going to shut up.
Well, I think it's normal for a guy after something like that and had a slow start this year with. He's just slowed down a little bit.
Do you want my official opinion?
Yeah, because you can't get fired.
I'm not interested in getting sued or fired or getting anyone in trouble. So I don't say names, but I give no one a pass. I don't know who does it, and I don't know who doesn't do it.
Dan Klecko.
And no one is on either list. Tom Brady's name ends up on Greg Anderson's cell phone list, and all the media in this town jumped up and said, oh, no, nothing
right.
to that. Oh, no, that was just, no.
He started getting good
two months
after
that. Now, I'm not saying he did, but I'm not saying he didn't. You, Fred? I'm not saying you did. If you drug tested your employees, I think you'd run into some issues.
Well, I've never, Spelger, I've said it 100 times. I have diabetes. I can't take them. If I didn't have diabetes, I'd have needles sticking out of my ass right now. I'm in full support of taking steroids. Anybody who does it has my support.
Like I said, because you've got some puffed out little employees.
I wouldn't be surprised at any guy in any pro sport takes
them.
There's just too many times I've been like, really?
That's all.
To now be surprised at anyone.
So, I'm not calling anyone out. I'm not saying this guy did or that guy didn't. All I'm saying is, to me.
Right. And by the way, it's not just so you can get pumped up. It's recovery from
and
injury.
Strength. Fred, too many people think they'll look at Ben Watson and say he's on steroids. But not necessarily everybody on steroids looks like Ben Watson. Some look like Nick Cashier. You know, not everybody uses it to build a great physique. They use it for strength, that quick power, that offensive line.
And also to recover from the injuries quicker.
So it's not just about getting a great physique. I think that has people swayed a little bit where they look at that guy and say, oh, Sean Merriman, look at him. He must be on steroids. Well, the fat offensive guard on that team could be on steroids too.
Right, as well as the punter.
Yeah.
Now, what is the world coming to when the punters are all juiced up?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, Pat's just got to hope that the P guy here
is. But, I watched that 60 Minutes show a couple months ago where, what's the latest big HGH that everyone's taking? And there was a doctor on this show saying, I take it every day, and I feel like I'm 20 years younger. I'm 50, I feel like I'm 30. And he goes, under supervision, I think it's the wonder drug. So what, I don't know.
Yeah, but you'd have to do a lot more testing. I mean, they've tested steroids quite a bit, and it's nothing positive's coming out of it except when you play.
Okay. Every guy that has a drop-off, think that that's what it is.
And if Brewski was taking steroids, I don't care. Just don't get caught.
Right.
That's what I say.
It's pretty much where it's at right now.
Steve from Basking Ridge, New Jersey says, just found the show about a month ago and enjoy it with the exception of all this Corey Dillon nonsense. If Casale was around for the Horace Ivory and Vegas Ferguson years, he'd realize even old Corey isn't that bad.
That doesn't make it any better. Comparing Corey Dillon to Curtis Enos doesn't make it better.
Right.
You don't think he's been okay?
I think he's been all right, but he is what I predicted he would be at the beginning of the year. See, Felger, you weren't here when I was saying 700 to 800 yards, and we were getting emails challenging me for 1,500, 1,400. So he is what I thought he would be. He's an average back who's going to get 700
yards.
Now,
he's good at it.
Well,
but.
I think he's a good back who's not in shape.
I don't think he's in shape.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I think he's a good runner who doesn't have the stamina to carry the ball 25 times or, run five in a row when he's going.
I don't even know about that. All I know is they got Lawrence Maroney.
Fred,
he should be the number one back.
Fred, why does he keep taking himself out of games after good runs?
I don't know. Maybe he's got some type of breathing problem.
Right, okay.
I don't know.
Okay,
let's
try and keep it moderate.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think the fans are switching on the fly because in the summer they all had him down for 1,500 yards. Now they're like, well, no, he's doing okay, 700 yards. But that's not what you said. It's not what you said. So stick by with what you said.
No, I mean, I don't know why he's taking himself out of games. It's kind of a little unusual.
Think he's bored? Like, he has a good run. He's like, okay, you know what? I don't feel like doing this anymore. He's tired, Fred. He's not in condition.
And that goes back to training camp when I was saying to Andy, does Dylan always act like this in training camp? And he said, yeah, kind of. And I said, well, when you get older, you have to actually do more, not less.
Well, it was kind of interesting in Bill Belichick's post-game press conference after last game. You know, Maroney was out, so Dylan had to play the whole game. Belichick made a point to say, you know, he delivered and then paused and then said, for four quarters. You know, so he knows that's been a criticism, and he made a point to say he delivered for four quarters.
Couldn't have won without those 60 yards.
Steve from Basking Ridge, New Jersey, goes on. He says, do you guys have any input on when the show gets uploaded onto iTunes? Talking about it not getting there in time. You can also get it off our site. You don't have to wait for it to get up on iTunes. I don't know what the deal is there, why it gets delayed, but they're supposed to pick it up immediately as soon as we post it. So if you don't want to wait for iTunes, just download it right from Patriots.com. It says, your show is the only insight I have into the Pats as I'm out of market, stuck listening to the man genius nonsense about the green slime and constant complaining about Coughlin and the Giants.
Oh, he's in New York.
Put either Moss or Plaxico on the Pats, and they are fighting for the first seed. Anyway, iTunes seems to treat PFW like Bill thinks of receivers as an afterthought. So he's hoping for a PFW subscription in his stocking.
Oh, well, nice.
You got to tell your wife, because we're not getting it for you. let's see. PJ writes in. PJ Nacarelli.
The Paisano.
He says, first I have to give kudos to Dan Heffron for his Night Before Christmas poem. That was absolutely worth the wait. Now to Tom.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Tom. I have mentioned before that I am from the Philly area, and I am an Eagles fan as well as a Pats fan.
I didn't know that.
About the Birds-Boys game this week, the Cowboys are looking for revenge as they are trying to lock up the East, so it will be an easy victory for Dallas, as Mr. Sally said, but not so fast, my friend. The Cowboys' defense has looked like Swiss cheese the last couple of weeks, making Drew Brees look like Joe Montana and Mike Vick, of all people, look like Dan Marino. I think the Cowboys are the better team, but I think the Birds will move the ball on that suspect defense, and it should be a good game. By the way, Lito Shepard is having a very good year and deserves his spot in the Pro Bowl. Last but certainly not least, this is the last week in the Fantasy Football League where I can win $20,000 and two tickets to the Super Bowl. I am now 3.9 points behind the leader. Tom, again I ask you, Cedric Benson or Michael Jenkins? Fred, you saved me last week with your pick of LaDainian Tomlinson over Heath Evans, so I defer to you. Should I start Peyton Manning or Brady Quinn? I'll go with Manning.
Who's Atlanta's playing Carolina and Detroit. I'm going to go with Benson again. I just don't think Jenkins is a good enough receiver, and Benson's getting more and more carries. He's getting the goal line carries. They should score some points. I always go with the running back in that.
Okay.
In that scenario.
There you go.
And also, I understand what you're saying about the Cowboys defense. First of all, Lito Shepard is going to get abused this week. I'll put that right in the books right now. And second of all, I don't really know why, but Jeff Garcia, he's in for a long day. I see 3-4 touchdown win.
Yeah, he's going to be running his little ass off.
Yeah.
Yesterday we were talking about Paul not watching football on Christmas because he has to spend all the time with the family. He has a PS. He says, hey, Paul, what could you possibly be doing with the family at 10 or 11 o'clock at night where you can't watch at least some of the Jets-Dolphins game on Christmas? Or is this the time when you give Mrs. Perillo her Christmas present? Whoa! Like Fred said, don't underestimate the gift of meat for Christmas. All right. Paul. All right.
He's like, PJ's an Eagles fan. I can't believe it. I did not know that.
Oh, what's so hard to believe about that?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
What's so hard to believe that I didn't know it? I don't know anything.
What do you got, Gary? Gary says, let's take a timeout, so that's exactly what we're going to do, because I always do what he says.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
you know, I take a sip. And suddenly, my hips start shaking, my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it?
Is it my own live show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
He works for the Boston Herald as a live radio show.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Frank.
Yes.
Ray Hamilton.
Ray,
how you doing?
Ray, thanks for calling us. We really appreciate that.
My pleasure.
I don't know if you remember, I did the book a couple of years ago, Tales from the Patriot Sidelines, and we had a nice long chat. I sent you a copy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So just wanted to reintroduce myself. Thanks again for helping us out.
Okay, it's my pleasure, Mike.
Okay. You ready? In three, two. And it is Patriots Friday here on 890 ESPN live at Gillette Stadium. Let's go right to the Sprint hotline. As promised, former great Patriot defensive lineman, former great Patriot assistant coach, is now the D-line coach in Jacksonville. Ray Hamilton joins us now from Florida. Ray, thanks for taking the time. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you, Mike. Same to you.
Okay.
Glad to be here.
It's great to have you. I love talking football with Ray Hamilton. He's a great guy. Been through a lot with the Patriots organization. Was part of the Pete Carroll regime. Was a member of one of the truly most talented Patriot teams of all time, Ray. I mean, some of these Patriot teams here who've won the Super Bowl are obviously great teams, but you look at that roster in 76, Ray, that may be the best team of all time here.
There's no doubt about it. You know, we had the Hall of Famer and John Hanna on the offensive line and Leon Gray and Grogan, your quarterback, and on defense we had Julius Adams and Steve Nelson, those guys. Mike Haynes, Hall of Famer also. It was definitely without a lot of talent on that team.
It sort of gets forgotten around here, and I like to remind people that these Patriots teams may not even be the best. But let's talk about your Jaguars team for a quick second. I mean, talk about coaching a good group of football players between John Henderson and Marcus Stroud there in the middle. You got a pretty good job for yourself down there.
Yes, they have. They've both been to the Pro Bowl. They're both, you know, first-round picks. You know, Marcus went to school with your guy up there, number 93 there. He's a pretty good player. But Marcus went to school with him at Georgia, and they're all three of those guys are the same kind of guys, you know, tough guys, big guys, strong guys, productive guys, you know, and just like Seymour has been to the Pro Bowl what, four or five times now. Marcus has been to the Pro Bowl three times. John's been once. They're all good players. It's always good. When you have players like that, they make you a good coach.
So, Ray, tell me the style with which you play down there. Now, here we're used to the two-gapping and, you know, defensive linemen not so disruptive in terms of being in the backfield, a gap control scheme. You do something a little different down there, don't you?
Yeah, we're just the opposite. We do just one gap, and we try to be get penetration sometime and be disruptive. We do more stunts where we're slicing the defensive linemen and trying to get them in the backfield and things like that, trying to confuse the offensive line. But we do very little two-gap at all.
Ray, what is the strength of your defense overall, do you feel?
Beg your pardon? I hear you.
What's the strength of the Jaguars' defense overall, do you feel?
Well, I think that we are a defense that's very disruptive. We're number two in the whole league right now. I think we're number two in the league against the run. I think one of the best things we do is stop the run. And with our pressure scheme, we can get some pressure on the quarterback and be disruptive in the backfield. Our defensive backs have a lot of interceptions. We don't have very many fumbles, but we try to put pressure on the quarterback and on the running game, try to make the game one-dimensional.
Do you fear then as a coaching staff that the Patriots will try and do to you what they did to Minnesota? I don't know if you've seen that game film. Obviously, Minnesota, two great defensive tackles, great at stopping the run, and the Patriots came into that ball game and said, fine, we won't even try and run, and they put the ball up 40 times. You think you may have that coming at you this week?
It's a possibility. The thing about Minnesota, they were ranked almost last in the pass. And we're ranked, I think, fourth or fifth in the pass. So we can play the run and the pass, you know, pretty decent. But, yeah, we saw that game, and we expect, you know, the defensive staff, we get our players prepared to play all situations, and that could be one.
It's Ray Hamilton, D-line coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars on 890. What do you see from the Patriots' offensive line, Ray? When you look at that film and you scout them, what do you see from that line?
They have a very good offensive line, young offensive line, athletic guys. They run a lot of plays that fit their style. They run some draws. They run some pulling plays, some misdirections, try to keep you off balance. I think they're very good pass blockers. Good young offensive line, good mixture of young guys and veteran guys.
Yeah, it would seem to me, Ray, that it's one that is more based on athleticism and movement. I mean, you do see all these guys get out on screen passes. All of them get down the field on draws.
Right. They're very athletic guys. Not the biggest guys that we've faced. They're all around 300 pounds or so, but they're very athletic, good feet, and they move very well.
You know, and it would seem to us, the way just watching it, that the strength is in the three inside guys and that the tackles have been more inconsistent. Do you see that as well?
No, we've only seen the four, three or four games that we scout, and so far what we've seen, they've been pretty good. You know, against Miami, they did some good stuff, just didn't quite work out here and there for them. But the times that we've seen, they've done very well.
Ray, if you have keys to stopping the Patriots offense, what are they?
Well, I think our keys to anything is every team we play, we try to stop the run in the beginning. If a team can run the ball on you, then they have a lot of options. We have to be aware of the trick plays and things like that. They run some reverses, some wham plays on our inside guys, things like that. So if we can stop the running and try to make them one-dimensional, then we can try to do some things in the passing game. And we got to be alert for, the spreading, the offense spreading us out and things like that, and be aware of that, the no-huddle situation, things like that we have to be prepared for.
Ray, you hear a lot of teams say you just cannot let Tom Brady get comfortable.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's the key to their whole offense. He's one of the best quarterbacks. I can't believe he didn't go to the Pro Bowl. But he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and especially under pressure.
Ray, and on that same topic, you see Tom Brady, when he faces these cover two teams that really do play the two deep safety and don't really try and pressure him, teams that try and get pressure with just four down linemen, he's had a lot of success against those teams this year. He's run into the real big pressure teams that send extra pressure and really cover tight in the secondary. How do you all play in the secondary, and are you going to be adjusting anything you do against him this week?
Well, we won't do anything as far as, he's not a runner, so we're not going to do anything as far as spying the quarterback and stuff like that. But we're a team that we're in the middle of the road. We pressure a little bit, and we get pressure with our front four guys, and we try to cover and mix in some blitzes and stuff like that. We're going to just try to play what we play. If it doesn't work, we have to adjust and do something else.
Ray Hamilton, D-line coach down there in Jacksonville. What's the atmosphere down here for this game? It would appear to be you guys are playing for your season here.
Yeah, we're in a playoff mode atmosphere here. We're definitely in that because we have to win to get into the playoffs. We have to win our last two games, and it starts right here with this one. We're looking at this as a playoff game, as a home playoff game that we have to win. If playoff atmosphere says if you lose, you go home. So that's what we are. That's where we are right now.
Yeah, and Ray, the home record of you guys, the performance of you guys at home has been off the charts. I looked this up the other day and did the math. I think you guys are allowing 9 points a game at home. You're 6-1 at home, 2-5 on the road. What is it about Altel that gets you guys to play that way?
Well, we have a pretty good crowd, and they've been rising to the occasion. And we've been a very good road team. This year, we've just lost some close games on the road, but we've been a very good road team the past 2 years. We've just had a little bit of a streak of bad luck on the road this season. But at home, our guys get revved up, and they play pretty good.
Is a physical game in order, do you think, Ray?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That's how we play. We're a physical team, and they are, too. That's what it's going to be.
It's Ray Hamilton, former great defensive lineman for the New England Patriots, Ray Sugar Bear Hamilton, now D-line coach in Jacksonville. And I ain't going back to 76, Ray, because I know I've talked to you about it before. I did a book, and you were kind enough to help me out about the roughing the passer call in that Oakland game. We're not going to go there.
Good. Except
that, you have had some experience with this call, and I think we're seeing in the league right now, Ray, them take that call to extremes that would put Ben Dreist to shame, right?
Yeah, it's really bad now. The calls they're making on roughing the passer, you scratch your head and say, how can that be roughing the passer? I mean, but you have to be very careful now around the quarterback. They're protecting him. He's the main guy on most teams, and they're going through the extremes to protect him.
So do you coach that? When you're out there, you say, not below the knees, not up. I mean, are you?
Right. Not below the knees, not in the head, never, never late. If he's going out of bounds, let him go. Don't try to push him. Don't try to get an extra hit on him. Just leave him alone.
Do you think the league has to do something to sort of reverse this trend?
Well, I hope so. I hope so because right now it's costing teams to be very, very cautious on defense, and when it happens within the rules, is giving the offense another 15 yards, maybe even on a bad play.
And Ray, to me, I would think that one of the crazy things about it is that some of these quarterbacks, I mean, this ain't the day where it's Fran Tarkenton at 5'10 or whatever, how mm-hmm. little guy running around
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Vince, all the quarterbacks are big guys.
Vince Young's a big fella.
Yeah, all of them are.
David Garrard at 6'1", 240.
David Garrard, Byron Leftwich, they're all big, guys.
You got to hit that guy to get him to the ground.
Peyton Manning is 6'5", 240. No, they're all big guys.
You know, and Ray, to me, I think that the league's got it wrong because I think the league believes fans demand and want offense and points on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they sort of underestimate what fans really want. I think fans want hard-hitting physical football more than points. I mean,
I agree with that, but the league thinks that they want all the games to be 49-50.
It's crazy. If that were the case, we'd watch arena ball, wouldn't we?
I'm telling you. I agree with that.
Okay, it's not going to be arena ball this Sunday. Ray Hamilton, former great Patriots defensive lineman, now is an assistant down there in Jacksonville. Ray, thanks so much for taking the time. We look forward to seeing you on Sunday.
All right, thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks, Ray. Again, right. Appreciate it. It is Patriots Friday live at Gillette Stadium here on 890 ESPN.
You hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen...
It smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard... A little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Sugar Bear Hamilton, sweet as honey.
All right, well, we just gave way to Mike Felger and ESPN Radio for Ray Hamilton's interview that you'll also be able to hear later on Mike's show.
That wasn't riveting enough. You can hear the replay.
Tom listened to that, and he says it's a sure thing Patriots win.
Oh, yeah, it was a good interview, but the Jacksonville has no chance this week. I started the week 27-10 Jacksonville. I heard some things I didn't like cover two. They don't blitz a lot. They use Mathis on one side of the field so he can cover Corey Dillon. And just listening to Hamilton saying, well, we stop the run and we try to get pressure with our front four. Well, unless they trade for Jason Taylor or Sean Merriman by Sunday, they're done.
So the key then becomes Patriots receivers.
Because Miami and the Jets both said after the game, if you don't get pressure on Brady, don't show up. There's no sense of even, don't even bother getting off the bus. Because if he has time, he's going to pick you apart. And you're going to see the same thing Mike said it with Minnesota. They're going to try with the front four. Obviously, I think Jacksonville will make adjustments, unlike Minnesota, who did nothing. But at that point, it might be too late. Brady gets in that rhythm. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Patriots big.
Well, I'm hearing words now that perhaps Maroney could be back for this game.
So that means he's playing.
Well, I don't know.
When you hear words, that means he's playing.
Well, we'll see. But I think that's a big part of this because when and if Jacksonville does make adjustments, you want to be able to hit him up.
But were you just listening to Tom here? I don't think they're going to try and run it, Stroud and Anderson. They're going to give it up like they did against Minnesota.
I agree with that, yeah. But you don't have to run it. Having him in the backfield, a little swing pass.
The big guy to me is Wilfork. That's a more important
guy.
Well,
that is. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the defense, absolutely, because without Wilfork,
what do you hear on that, Freddie?
Do you think Wilfork and Watson are playing?
Well, I was surprised that the two guys that weren't practicing yesterday were Wilfork and who was the other guy?
Rodney.
Watson.
Watson.
Wasn't that Rodney sat out yesterday, too?
No, Rodney was
hasn't practiced.
Yeah.
I know that.
Rodney was out there, but he missed a portion of the practice.
Yeah.
But he was out there. Wilfork and Watson weren't there at all, at least, the part that we could see. So I was a little surprised that Wilfork was out in
He's
Watson.
The big one. I mean, you know my feelings on Watson. I think he's done. So they need to get Wilfork back.
You think he's done for the year?
I think it's going to be, if not the year, for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Won't they IR him?
Because he's a guy that's so important that you got to... I don't think it's a definite injury. Like, I don't think he tore three ligaments in his knee, but I think it's an injury that's going to keep him out for a while, and they're hoping if they get to a certain point, he'll be able to come back and help him.
Wow.
Okay, let's get back to some emails. Webradio@patriots.com. Justin writes in. He says, first of all, I was a little bummed to find out that I have a Christmas Eve visit planned to my mother-in-law's this year, which will likely take all afternoon. I'm wondering if I give you guys my pager number, can you page me at 12:45 so I can pretend like I have to go to work or something? I'm really feeling the hot stares when I try to sneak to the TV at 1 o'clock. Christmas Eve, yeah, that's tough.
That's tough.
Yeah.
This guy thinks he's got it tough. I'm eating Christmas dinner with Andy Hart.
I mean, you got to just make the – I'll come over, but the
serious?
TV's
– yeah.
Oh, my God.
What's that?
I said, he's got it tough. I'm eating Christmas dinner with Andy Hart.
Yeah, that's not good. Are you going to end up going to Dave and Buster's? Might as well go if everyone's going.
I guess. I don't know. I don't want to play video games. Also, I want to watch bowl games.
Justin's also complaining that Peter King only had the Patriots as number 8 on his top 15. Look, you know, I know that that's a constant every year thing for Patriots fans to get upset with those power rankings. But this year, I don't think you can complain. I think you should be just happy that they're on a power ranking at this point. They played so inconsistently, you know?
What does it mean?
Let's not worry. I mean, have the Patriots earned a lot of respect this year? No. So let's just hope that they've turned things around and can get some momentum going in. Don't worry about the power rankings.
Peter King's power rankings mean anyway? Does it make you feel better if the Patriots are one? Can you sleep better at night?
How dumb is Peter King?
Well, there was a time when, you know, respect was an important thing, but not this year.
Winning's important.
Yeah. Let's see. Liam says, I got all of my Yuletide rage out yesterday, so I wanted to thank you guys for providing great insight into the team all of us love. A few questions. One, as someone who wasn't privy to the inner workings of the team until discovering this show, can any of you explain exactly what happened with the aborted move of the team to Hartford back in the 90s? It seems to us average Joes that the Crafts had everything they wanted on a silver platter from the Connecticut people, but they got a few crumbs from Mass or Foxborough, and they bailed out of a done deal and came running back. Is that inaccurate?
They were never certain. I mean, they signed all the deals in Hartford.
They had a deal.
That was a leverage point.
They had a deal with Hartford that was sort of a contingency plan, but they had a lot of outs. This deal was it was a dream deal. It was, you know, for the Patriots. But Hartford couldn't live up to some of the conditions of that deal, and that allowed the Patriots to get out of it when a group of Massachusetts businessmen finally convinced, you know, the legislature to at least pay for some of the road improvements that the Patriots were going to need to move into Foxborough.
When are those coming?
Well, there was a lot of infrastructure things. I mean, you should have seen it before.
They might as well turn 495 into a dirt road.
But these flyovers are good. It's much easier now to the stadium than it was 5 years ago.
Well, it is. I mean,
there's no question. I came to games back then.
What they need is
6 hours to get home.
A tunnel underneath for pedestrians to go underneath Route 1. Mm. Once they do that, then you're golden. But, Mike says they never really were serious. I think they were serious. And I think if Hartford had lived up to the conditions, the Patriots would have had to move to Hartford. Oh, yes.
They would have found another out.
Well, I mean, that's why they did the outs, but Hartford wasn't able to eliminate those outs.
No, listen. The Kraft saved the team. Look, I mean,
I worked here, okay? I was out in Hartford thinking, boy, I'm going to have to move here and looking around at space. No, I was figuring I had to go there.
Yeah.
You know? So
I just can't imagine it.
It would have been crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It would have been awful.
But what other alternative did they have?
They're just smart. They were just they just leveraged themselves in a team in a stadium brilliantly. It was just brilliant business.
Yeah, and now, since then, the governor from Connecticut was put in jail. And
I wish they'd stop trying to leverage and, you know, spend a little bit more on the team.
Spend a little bit more on the team? Yeah. What? Now, see, that is a comment that comes from someone who's just not informed.
I know the salary cap figures very well.
Yeah?
I like my teams to spend to the cap.
Well, just to spend, just on anyone?
So you're saying there were no good players?
I think they had targeted guys and it didn't work out.
Here we go.
Let me get out my list.
I think this year, I think they might be a little bit more aggressive and make that first offer a little bit higher so that these guys, they don't have to compete for these guys.
Let me get out my lists.
I mean,
there was no one out there who could help the team. No one.
That's,
zero.
Is that what I said?
Basically.
Is that what I just said?
Well, so
I said they had guys targeted
so
that they
saying,
lost out on.
Like who?
Like Javon Walker, for example.
How'd they lose out on him?
They didn't offer him enough.
That's not losing out. That's not paying.
At front to keep him on the plane to get to New England.
Right. That's not paying. That's not losing out.
Well, I think in an extended...
You think Javon would have gone to Denver because he took less money to go there?
No, but I think this time around, the Patriots' first offer will be a little higher for certain guys.
So you admit they screwed up?
I think they miscalculated. Absolutely. I think they miscalculated on Dean Branch. I think if they did it over, Branch would be here.
Okay. But it comes down to not paying the money.
It's no. there's a difference between not paying the money and an unwillingness to pay the money, okay?
Oh.
I mean,
either way, the money ain't going anywhere.
Well, Richard Seymour would disagree with that. I mean, he's getting a lot of it.
Yeah, okay? I mean, right.
So
I mean,
they are willing to spend the money. But unlike other teams, like the Washington Redskins, who pay Adam Archuleta God knows how much money, which is ridiculous. The Patriots aren't just going to spend to spend. They want the right guys.
Okay,
start,
so now we're back to the point where you're saying there were no other receivers out there who could help
them. And when they find guys that they want to spend on it, they'll spend the money.
So, all right, there were no other guys that could have helped them. Fine.
I'm not saying that.
Well, do you want to listen to the receivers that were up for contract who either changed teams or almost changed teams or could have been had? Let me just give you the list.
Okay, Mike, go ahead.
And I'm not saying that I want all these guys, but these are just the options that were out there.
Okay.
And what they came back with was Rashe Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, and Chad Jackson.
Okay.
Terrell Owens, David Givens, Corin Robinson,
okay, whoa.
Keyshawn Johnson. Do you want, let me give you the list.
Right,
I'm not saying
ahead.
I want every guy on the team.
All right.
I'm telling you what was out there if you wanted it.
All right.
Terrell Owens, David Givens, Corin Robinson, Keyshawn Johnson, Antoine Randall-El, Brandon Lloyd, Isaac Bruce, Antonio Bryant, Nate Burleson, Joe Jurevicius, Ashley Lalee, Dante Stallworth, Javon Walker, Deion Branch, and I even put David Kirkus at the bottom of the list.
Dan Klecko.
Because I like David Kirkus. So you're saying none of those guys could help. All right, fine. Maybe you're right. None. Zero. None of them. Rashe Caldwell was better than all those guys.
Let me ask you a question. By the time Branch was a done deal and gone, how many of those people were still available?
Stallworth was still available. Walker. No, Walker wasn't.
No, he wasn't.
All right, you're right. Well, Stallworth was certainly available.
All right, come on. That's my point. I mean, they thought they were going to get Branch. They miscalculated. That blew everything. That losing Branch and the lack of production from Chad Jackson screwed the pooch this season.
Did they lose him or they just not pay for him? This wasn't like a fluke.
Look,
this wasn't like a
Branch,
I mean,
was under contract.
The money was there, Fred. It was obvious.
Branch was under contract.
I mean,
they didn't think that he was going to do what he did. They traded him.
And what
Mike.
Does that
he
mean?
He wasn't
was
a free
contract.
Agent.
Since when does that mean anything nowadays?
Well, usually it means
not really.
A little leverage.
Not really.
Well,
not really. Bill was under contract with the Jets. Where'd he end up? A lot of players under contract to a lot of teams. They don't end up
there. I guess
there.
If you want to go to hearings with the commissioner, you can get out of anything. You know, but I know even the league did away with that whole draft picks for coaches thing.
My point is, so he was under contract. A lot of guys are under contract. Well, it was a little bit beyond that.
Look, I'm saying that it was a miscalculation. But I think that they thought they were going to end up with Deion Branch on this team.
So if they don't spend this year, like you're saying, then what?
Look, if they don't spend, if they don't go out right away, you know, usually they wait in free agent to kind of get the guys that are left over, you know, by May.
Yeah, guys
June.
With no talent.
Well, no, that's not necessarily true.
Well, most of the time.
Okay. I mean, you know, but I think this year, I think I would expect them to make a splash right away, target one or two guys who they absolutely want to get, and they will get them.
Okay.
If they don't do that, and we're back to this conversation as early as July, August, I will admit then that they are not with the times, that they have to loosen up the pocketbook. But I've looked at a team that has spent up to the cap, that has spent money on players, and have put together teams with guys that work for them. I mean, how can you argue that?
This year, you can totally
argue. Yeah, so you're
going
to take 1 year.
Well, that's what we're
and say,
about.
Oh, they don't spend money.
Well, okay.
And just paint this broad.
Who says
you
that?
Know, you just did.
I said this year. They have not spent money. That's why. If you want to do a retrospective show on this era and the Kraft ownership and Belichick, you're fine.
Well, is it?
But this is December.
Well, why do you think this year, Mike?
2006.
All right, Mike. Why do you think this year, all of a sudden, they decided not to spend money?
I don't know, Fred.
Fred, your argument's kind of weak though, because it's all based on Deion Branch. So what if Deion Branch came back? They still didn't have a lot of other options at receivers. They have no linebackers, younger linebackers.
Well, we've talked about replenishing the linebacker for not just this
defensive
year,
backs,
but for the last few years.
There were
Eric Warfield. That's the guy they brought in,
right.
Fred. Monty Beisel, guys from Kansas City.
Fred, you had a linebacker coming off a stroke. You had a 32-year-old safety coming off three torn knee ligaments, and you did nothing.
And I don't
you
know.
Did, Fred. You did nothing at either position other than bring back Monty Beisel and sign Bucky Bleep.
And I can remember when we were talking about free agent during the offseason, I don't remember us saying they got to get that guy.
All right, do you want
linebacker.
The safeties? Do you
they
want
just
the
weren't a lot out there.
Do you want the linebackers who were available? do you want another list of guys who obviously just couldn't fit in this system because there just weren't any good players out there? I mean, do you want it?
Look, who at the time, who was
Julian Peterson, Will Witherspoon, Akeem Adelaide, is that how you pronounce it? And
you don't even know how to say his name.
He's a good player.
He's having a great year for the Cowboys.
Great year for the
same
Cowboys.
System. Went from the same system.
Went from Jacksonville to Dallas, however you pronounce his name. Good player. I don't care what, call him whatever you want. David Thornton, Scott Fajita, Niall Diggs, Bart Scott. Yeah, he's not having
hey,
that good
I,
of a year.
I gotta be honest with you. Scott Fajita, phenomenal year for New Orleans.
Cato Jr. I mean, but just, you know, but none of those guys would have fit here. They were good not to spend
any money. And why do you think they didn't end up getting any of them?
They weren't spending money.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. They're building a man mall out here. I don't know. Maybe some of it's going there.
Oh, come
I have no
on.
Idea. I have no idea. All I know is that the cash out, look at their cash out
you're
this year.
You're insinuating that,
it's at the
that
bottom
either
of the
they don't have money or they're just being tightwads.
Well, I never said they didn't have it. I think they're doing okay financially, would be my guess. For whatever reason, they didn't spend it this year. That's all I'm saying.
And what would that reason be?
I don't know. I'm not in there. I'm not Andy Walsh.
Well, you're speculating that what you're saying is that they were just cheap this year.
How would I know?
Yeah,
why,
but he's saying he's bringing up a fact, Fred.
I'm not saying why they did it.
I don't know why. When the Arizona Cardinals and Buffalo Bills do what Felger's saying, we tear them apart. Well, why should the fans go? They're not spending any money on the team. So it is a fact. They have a ton of money there.
I'm not going
that far. If they're
going
to use it for something that we don't know, then that's fine, but if they just sits there, that's a problem.
And I'm not saying fans shouldn't go or that these guys are tightwads. I'm saying this year, on this team, they did not aggressively spend to make this team as good as it possibly could be. And I don't know how you argue with that.
No. Maybe they don't want to get stuck with guys with, you know, long-term contracts that I don't think in the long term will work for this team.
Come on.
They're looking for the right 53.
So you're right. Those guys,
Scott Peel
none of
says.
Those guys. You want the corners that change teams, the safeties that change teams? None of these guys. Ty Law, Charles Woodson, Ike Taylor, Ricky Manning Jr., Deshae Townsend, Andre Dyson, R.W. McCorders, Brian Williams, Reggie Howard. None of those guys. None. Zero could play in this system. Lori Malloy would have no impact back here. Adam Archuleta, Marlon McCree, Chris
Adam
Hope,
Archuleta.
Corey Chavis, Will Demps.
Think about what some of these players, like Adam Archuleta, got offered. Can you blame the Pages for not wanting to give them that money?
I mean, I'll go back and say specifically, obviously some of those guys wouldn't work, but when you say that there zero fits out there.
I never said that.
Zero.
See, I never said that.
But that's what you're implying by saying, well, they just didn't want to spend money just to spend it.
No,
I never said that.
I'm saying a lot of these guys got offered a lot of money first.
Yeah, it's called free agency, Fred. Yeah. That's what happens.
We would be screaming at the Patriots if they had given it to
us. No, we wouldn't.
Oh, come on.
Fred, you scream at them if...
This is a town that gets mad at the Red Sox for spending more on a player when there's not even a salary cap.
Fred.
This guy, JD, everyone's like, why would you pay all that money for this guy? What do you care?
If you had
no salary cap. In the NFL, there is.
Fred, but when you're $13 million under the cap as they were to start this year... The cap argument sort of loses its juice.
Well,
you know, because I love to hear the apologists say, well, if you give Adam this, you can't give player Y that. This year,
but
you could have given Adam anything you wanted and David Givens and Deion Branch and played out the season. You could have.
And then
have $20 million next year, Fred. They're $30 million under next year. 30. 3-0.
Yeah, Fred will point out there's a lot of other teams that are going to be 30 and 40 million under, so they're going to have to compete with those teams to get talent.
Well, this is a better organization, so they'll come here if they pay the money.
Better organization than who?
Than a lot of those other teams with the $30 million.
Do you think players really care about that?
I think they do. I think winning is important.
I think they care about money.
Rare.
I think number one is money. But when it's close, I think winning is the tipping factor. I absolutely do.
That's why Javon Walker obviously turned around and went to Denver when he was in Philly, waiting to hang out here.
Well, you know. I
because he wanted to win.
I think the Patriots do have to maybe adjust their thinking a little bit.
I love how it's an adjustment. How about reach into their get the crowbar and reach into the pocket?
I'm telling you, they have the right guy. They'll get him if they.
So then again,
if they really want the guy.
Although about 70 names I just listed, none of them were the right guy. That's fine. That may be the case. Then if that is the case, then maybe they're just a little too picky. Maybe.
You know. We'll see. Oh, my God.
Felger's just happy because...
I thought you had to use his list.
After,
I've had these lists.
After the first play of the game, he can go, see, spread them out this week. Like he did in Miami when they were shut out.
Oh, my God. It's just no wonder no one's talking to you, Mike.
Next question.
Justin says, I heard you guys talking about how Belichick might be tempted to
next question
to the Giants if he was given full control over personnel and the team as a whole. I know you were being hypothetical, but it brought a question up to me. Exactly how much control does Big Bill have over the Pats personnel? Good time to bring up this question. I was under the impression that he did have pretty full control over the team and the players on the team. Doesn't he work pretty closely with Pioli on that? I hear a lot of folks who complain about Bill's personnel decisions, but then I hear you guys saying he might be tempted to go somewhere else where he has more control. Just wondering how much power he already has here in Pat's organization. I think
he has a lot of power.
Yeah, my opinion?
I think the whole thing with the Giants was right now they've got a system in place that he wouldn't have control, but if they were to give it to him. Here he has total control.
He has about as much control as a coach could hope for, but he doesn't have ultimate control, and this sort of goes back to what we're talking
about. Well, he can't say that we're not going to China.
Right. Exactly. Right. And also,
maybe that's the control he wants.
And he also can't say to Kraft,
disrespect to the Orientals.
I want you to spend $140 million in payroll this year. I think that Bill, let me finish, Bill has every control imaginable within a parameter, meaning you've got $120 million to spend on this team, so you can give Adam whatever you want, and you can give David Givens whatever you want, and you can offer Javon Walker whatever you want. That's your call. But as a football team, our cash out this year is going to be 90 or 95 or 110. There's not a coach in the world that tells the owner what he can actually spend in real dollars. I don't think he has
that cash control. Over cap you're talking about.
In other words.
And I don't want to get a whole bunch string of emails, because a lot of emails, every time we mention cash over cap, they say, well, how can people spend more than the cap? It's money that's outlaid.
Right, it's actual payroll and not...
Yeah.
Bill does not control actual payroll. He controls salary cap figures.
Well, I think every coach is given a parameter, or personnel manager is given some parameter of budget. Anyone in any walk of life is given that parameter. But I think you're insinuating that the Patriots' budget is lower than other teams.
It's at the bottom third of the league this year. When it comes out...
This year!
They don't... What did I say? What are you talking about?
It goes in cycles, Mike.
Why do you turn into a referendum on these people every time you say something about right now?
Because all of a sudden, if next year they're back at the top with two draft picks and by free agency, now they've set themselves up for long-term competitiveness, whereas other teams have downturns. This team is setting itself to be competitive year after year after year.
I'm telling you that this year in 2006, they are in the bottom 10 in the league.
And yet they are still competitive.
And if they had
because of the way they set it up years before this.
Baloney, Fred.
Oh, for crying
out loud.
If
they had spent a little more money this year, maybe they're a more legitimate Super Bowl team as opposed to just a division
finalist. They don't want to be stuck with guys long-term that they know aren't going to work out. They're talking about long-term success, long-term sustaining that success long-term.
Well, you have a much better argument if they're not $30 million under the cap next year. 30.
Well, they're going to spend that money, Mike.
They are.
They're not the only team that's going to be that much under the cap next year.
Just like they spent the 20 this year? They got down to 13 on day one. Now they're about 7. That's as close as they're going to get.
Look, if they had Deion Branch, okay, how much of a better team would they be right now?
I think they'd be far more dangerous, far more balanced.
Would they have a chance to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, much better chance.
Okay. So they win the Super Bowl, they set themselves up for next year to be – To reload.
I would disagree with that. I think they have problems on. I know people are going to chime in with the numbers, with the defensive numbers, but we see it with teams that can throw the football. You can throw it across the middle on them. They're slower. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team with Deion Branch.
Well, let
me ask you guys this.
Well, they're closer.
They're a better team, no doubt about it. But let me ask you guys this. Since we were just, Andy and I were talking about the whole Giants thing. We just threw it up as a hypothetical thing. But do you think, because he failed in Cleveland, then Belichick came here and he got Brady. So you can always make the argument that it was Brady. Do you think at some point in his coaching career he's going to want to go somewhere else and make them a winner too, so there's never the chicken or the egg argument with Brady?
He's young enough.
You don't think his guys have that kind of ego?
I think he did with Parcells as a fellow coach.
Yeah.
I think hooking your wagon to a great player there's not that same stigma or the same thing. I just don't think that's it. Did Bill Walsh feel that way about Joe Montana? I can't think of a case where that's happened. I think there's plenty of cases where coaches wanted to prove themselves outside of their former boss, but never, I can win without Lawrence Taylor, or I can win without such and such.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back.
How are you? Please, sit down. What's the reason for your visit?
Well, Doctor, I need to ask you about something that I've been feeling lately.
Go on.
Doctor, you see, every time I drink Pepsi, I start hearing this. It's here in my head, and it seems like it's coming from inside of me. And then I start feeling an urge to dance and jump, and a strong sensation of happiness fills my whole body.
What else?
You know, I take a sip, and suddenly, my hips start shaking, and my feet start sliding, and it happens when I'm with my friends, at school, out in the street, at my granny's house, even when I'm at the movies. It happens everywhere. Tell me, what is it? What is going on?
Well, I know what your problem is.
Yes?
You're out of tune. The song goes like this.
Pepsi, it's the cola.
And it is the Mike Felger Show on Patriots Friday, live from Gillette Stadium, as we are each and every Friday. Let's get back to our player interviews. Thrilled to have the silent one, left tackle Matt Light, back in studio, exclusively here at 890 ESPN. Matt, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, and Merry Christmas to everyone out there that's listening. And hope everyone has a great Christmas day and a Happy New Year, if I don't talk to you before that.
How's the fake tree back home?
The fake tree is doing pretty good. We have a situation with the lights in the middle of the tree that have gone out, and my wife has been trying to get me to fix that, but I don't even know where to start because, you know, now that's got all the ornaments on it, it's pretty much a done deal. It's going to be that way throughout the rest of the season.
Let's open up this discussion just a little bit more. Troy Brown, Patriots receiver, also joining us here in studio. Troy, you got a real tree or one of those fake plastic jobs?
I'm a plastic tree guy now.
What is up with you guys?
I grew up with plastic trees, and I moved up here, and I had real trees for several years, and just the cleanup is a mess. You get pine tar all over your hands.
But it smells good.
You gotta keep it watered all the time. You check the water.
Yeah, I put mine in a big ass bucket. I filled it once and it's lasted a month. And that's a good mess to have.
And my house isn't as big as yours. I gotta use a smell.
That's a good point too.
Right. I'm sure you've got a okay little abode. Something tells me you're okay. Matt, I couldn't tell if you were joshing with me the last time when you said that the reason you have the plastic tree is because you don't want to infringe on nature and actually take one out of the ground.
It could be a nesting place for like a great horned owl. You never know. I'm serious. I mean, I saw the paper that the PETA ladies that were protesting the furs from Burberry, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, someone should protest with these trees. I mean, someone needs to do that, you know? I mean, these trees, they have a life too, and they probably have children and other people that depend on them to grow and be around them and nurture them. So, you know, all you people that are stealing those trees out there and putting them in your living room, why don't you stop and think about it for a minute?
What does a good plastic tree cost?
You can get some good ones. Mine costs like $700.
What?
Yeah, they are kind of expensive.
You can get some good ones, man. It's pre-lit and everything, man.
I'm calling bull crap on that.
It's the gift that keeps giving, though, year after year. Yeah. I mean, it never dies.
Man, you can spend $100 a year on one if you want to, but
pay
good money. For a nice fake tree that looks real, it's pre-lit. The lights are already tied into it, so I just connect the lights every year.
Yeah.
When the kids come up, I let them put the ornaments on it and the stuff. They decorate it how they want to decorate it, and it's easy. Hardest thing is getting out of the basement.
Well, okay. Now that's like, does it fold up? Do you put it in a?
Yeah, sure it does. Yeah. And then you have to give it character. Every limb you have to spruce it up and make it look like it would naturally look. And that's kind of an art form. I got a pretty good eye for it, I think.
Okay. Usually I don't grab ass too much on this program, but the plastic tree thing gets to me. The pine needles are good. It's a good problem to have. Let's talk about this offense and consistency. What do you think has prevented you guys from being as consistent as you wanted to be or need to be at this time of year?
I think it's just us, you know, just concentration, penalties, turnovers, and the usual stuff that keeps you from being consistent. And once we can, I mean, you see how we play when we don't turn the ball over and we don't have a lot of penalties. I mean, we play pretty well. And for whatever reason, we haven't done it from week to week. But, you know, it's December and it's time we start doing that.
Well, and, Matt, what about up front? Seems like there's been a pretty good roller coaster up there, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's a number of things, but, you know, in the end, it always comes down to, you know, how we perform individually, and I think that we've stressed that a lot lately. You know, it's everybody needs to do their job and only their job, and don't try to do too much, and, you know, don't go out there and just go through the motions, but go out there and play, you know, to the best of your ability, and if everyone does that, we're not going to have all those little things that have created problems for us in the past.
Tell me about this Jacksonville Jaguars team. Seems very, very physical up front, Matt, especially those two guys inside. Not that you'll be seeing a ton of them, Marcus Stroud and John Henderson, but I think as a unit defensively, Jacksonville, very, very physical.
Well, I think they're all pretty big. I mean, you know, they got 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", guys on their line, and, you know, I think they're pretty big across the board. You know, I think those guys know how to get up the field. They're very physical, and you know, they like to run a lot of their games, and you know, they'll bring it at you when they need to. But you know, this is one of those games that I kind of liken to Pittsburgh. You know, the physical defense that wants to come up and hit you in the mouth.
And do you like that as a team, Troy? When the team's physical and you know you have to be physical, I get the sense. Seymour said it the other day that we take that personally, and you know, we welcome that.
Well, you do, and because this is a big physical team that plays hard, and they play strong and play fast, and that's what they do. So you got to. It's a challenge for you to get up and meet that challenge, if not be more physical than they are. That's the only way you can beat these guys, is just meet the challenge, because if you don't, they'll just bury you.
Well, call me crazy, and either you can comment on this however you want, but I remember the last time you played a defense with two big, stout, serious guys in the middle of the defense in Minnesota in the Williams twins, and yet you got Henderson and Stroud here this week. When you faced that the last time, you spread them out. You said, you know what? You guys stop the run. We're not even going to try. Take it. We concede. You got the run. Here's 40 balls in the air.
Unlike Minnesota, this entire defense is good, though. Yeah. I mean, not just two guys in the middle. I mean, you can go from defensive tackle to defensive ends to the corners and the safeties. They're just big physical guys, and they let it be known. And that's just the way that whole team plays. So, I mean, Minnesota had a problem with their secondary, but this team is playing pretty well across the board.
Matt, like, what do you think the difference was last week as opposed to Miami up front for the offensive line, taking out the obvious, which is Jason Taylor? You guys also played better. The competition wasn't the same, but you played better. What was the difference?
Well, I mean, we got rolling early, and we kind of sustained that. And, you know, obviously the field was, I mean, there's a lot of things. Those games are so different, and how we attacked them were so different. But, you know, in the end, I think we did some things that were pretty good, but we also didn't score when we got in the red zone the way we should have. You know, there's definitely things that we need to improve on from that game. But, you know, the defense gave us great field position, and special teams, you know, that they played a great game. And when you have all those things going for you, it helps you out offensively. You know, you're not starting on a 5-yard line. And then, you know, we had guys executing, and we weren't turning the ball over like we were in the previous couple weeks.
Matt, you guys always say, and a big key out here is playing your best football in December and sort of peaking towards January. You guys have done a great job of that in the past. This year, maybe you're coming into that a little bit slower. Do you feel that a win like last week, even if it's not a very competitive game, can help you get there?
Well, I think a win's always going to help you get to where you want to go. I mean, however you want to bill it, I mean, that was a big game for us, you know. And obviously a great win for us, and it puts us at 10 wins, which is huge. I mean, it's, you know, we've had a roller coaster year, but in the end, we got 10 wins, and that's something to be pretty proud of, I think.
Troy, you guys getting bored of division titles?
You never get tired of winning.
Well, but I mean, let me just say, I mean, I remember the first year in 01 when you guys clinched in Carolina, and we come into the locker room, and there's hats and T-shirts and, you know, woo! And last year, I think you probably clinched at that Tampa Bay game, and I don't know if I saw a hat.
Well, I mean, I think it's a message that it's a bigger prize out there to get. But don't get me wrong, there's always goals, and our goals are to win one game at a time. And you win one game at a time, you become the division champions, and then you become the conference champions, and then you become the world champions. And so it steps in that process. So, but, you know, our mentality has allowed us to just take it one game at a time, and that's it. But there's always goals that you set to reach, and but you can only get there, you know, one step at a time.
Do you guys think this game's important? I'll ask you first, Matt. So you can manage Week 17? When I say manage, I think last year in Week 17, you managed that game. Castle came in for 3-plus quarters. Doug Flutie's drop-kicking the football. I mean, that game wasn't, you know, I mean, let's be honest. That wasn't a normal game, and that sort of gave you a little break going there into the playoffs. Is that ultimately what you think you need, that you want to be able to, Week 17 in Tennessee, have the option to go for it or rest?
No, I think what we need and want is to win this game. And you know, whatever happens after that, we'll let it all unfold. But I don't think anybody's worried about that at this point. I mean, you know, if you're not 100% focused in on winning this game and the importance that this game has for, you know, not just us, but them too, you know, I mean, they're thinking the same thing we are. So I think everybody's attention right now is just winning on the road.
Matt, looking at them on film, what do they do at home that's different than what they do on the road? Why are they such a good, dangerous team down in Florida?
Well, I can't really tell you that, but, you know, they play well, and, you know, they do what they do, and they they've had a lot of success at home, obviously. But, you know, I think if your real question is what kind of team are we going to see when we go down there, I think you better expect to see the best that they have, because that's what they're going to give us.
It's Matt Light and Troy Brown. Stick around. We got more coming up next on 890 ESPN. Let's do a quick break. Do like 4 more minutes. 3, 2, and it is the Mike Felger Show here live at Gillette Stadium, Patriots Friday. Troy Brown, Matt Light joining me in studio. What does it mean to you to be, does it bother you or does it affect you at all that you're traveling out on Christmas Eve, you know, that you're traveling and playing on Christmas Eve?
No, not really, because when you sign up for this league, that's just what it is. I mean, even some, you know, major colleges play on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and you play football, and you know what it's going to be like, and that's what you sign up for. You might get the, I mean, I've been working on holidays all my life, so I'm kind of used to it, and it provides people with entertainment. But you know, you kind of put it in perspective, and Christmas is Christmas. It's a great holiday, religious. And you have fun with your family. It's a family day, and you understand all that. But at the same time, you know, you got to understand when we're at work, you know, it's all about, you know, trying to get yourself ready to win the football game. And you got to be able to separate the two.
Well, I understand that Bill hasn't given you exactly very many Mondays off this year. It's 1-2 at the most.
Has it been two?
I know it's been one. I know last Monday was the first in a long time. I think there may have been two. But something tells me, Matt, he's going to give you this Monday off.
Well, I think it is Christmas, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's not that big of a Scrooge now. Has he already told you guys got Monday off?
No, he hasn't.
He would not bring you in on Monday.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know.
I hope not.
Honestly, again, if you're looking past Sunday, you're probably doing the wrong thing. But, you know, it is what it is. And like Troy said, we've been doing this for a long time. And hey, there's teams playing on Monday. So, you know, I think when you're a football player, you just kind of get past all that, and you realize that the times that you do have with your family during the season, those are pretty good days, you know, when you actually have that Tuesday or, you know, lucky enough to have a Monday, and you kind of cherish those moments when you got them. But, hey, you know, it's the season. It's time to work, and I think all of our families understand the fact, too, that, you know, we're not going to be around a whole lot during the season.
Matt Light, Patriots left tackle here on 890. Matt, you and your fellow offensive lineman, for the most part, have not talked to the media for 2 weeks. You miss us? Do you come in the locker room and see us there in the, you know, with our thumbs up our butt sitting there in the middle of the locker room saying, God, I'd really like to go talk to these fellas, but I'm just not going to.
That was just your thumb?
I get, yeah.
I'm sorry. No. Well, you know, I honestly think you definitely get tired of dealing with the media and everything else. Just like you guys probably get tired of coming into work and covering, you know, the locker room and all the stories and everything, but I'm not really sure that everybody has a whole lot to talk about anyway. You know, everybody's been pretty focused this year, and it kind of seems like, you know, the locker room in general has been a little bit more quiet. And we got a lot, you know, we've had a lot of things to work on. We've been, you know, our minds have been filled with a lot of things, and you know, there are times that you just don't feel like saying a whole lot.
Do you think you've been treated unfairly, you as a team?
Oh, I never worry about that. You know what? However someone treats you, they have every right to say what they want. I've always felt that way. You know, anybody can write what they want, anybody can say what they want, and you know, if you give them reason to, then hey, that's the way it is. But you know, I think as long as we understand what we're doing as a unit and as a team, and defensively and offensively, as long as we understand what we're doing and we're working hard, then, you know, it shouldn't really matter what else is brought up out there.
Troy, do you think part of that situation is because expectations have gone through the roof? I mean, you are a 10-win team, and we're all sitting here saying, well, but they don't look as good as 0-3, and it doesn't feel the same as 0-4. And
you know, I think, of course, it's only natural. You know, I mean, over the past few years, you know, 6-7 years, I mean, this team has been pretty successful, and people expect you to be great every Sunday. And you know, we're trying to. But it doesn't always happen that way. And, I mean, it's only been one undefeated team in the history of this league. and it doesn't happen very often. So, I mean, you're gonna get beat sometimes, and sometimes it's not going to be pretty. But that doesn't mean the guys aren't trying. And but, you know, I think expectations have, you know, pretty much gone through the roof. And, you know, when it's bad here, especially in New England, you know, you get the boos, the boo birds come out. But And I think, you know, they pay a lot of money for those tickets. You may deserve it if you're not putting a good product on the field.
Well, I mean, and, you know, on the other side, I don't think it's unfair for us fans and media to expect you guys to be contending for championships. You guys are good. You got a great coach.
That's what we signed up for that, too, to come in, and that's what we start the season for, is to, you know, play for championships. You're not playing it to be mediocre, be an average team, be just a good team. You're trying to win, you know, the ultimate prize. And but, you know, as players, we can't be affected by – by what, you know, you guys say in the media. It's your opinions and your thoughts, and, you know, you write whatever you feel like. But if you get affected by it negatively, then you're not going to be very successful as a player in this league.
Troy, something I've noticed opposing defenses here in this last 7-8-game stretch, a safety once again led the opponents last week, Houston Texans. Earl, their safety had 11 tackles, led that team. Four of the last seven games, the leading tackler from the opponent from the opposing team has come from the safety position. And the half-assed TiVo analysis here, the layman would look at that and say, well, the secondary is squatting up on the line of scrimmage because they don't fear any deep threats from the Patriots. Why do you think safeties are having big days from you against you?
Yeah, I mean, partly that, and then secondary guys get tackles in the passing game also, and they also make tackles down the field. So, I mean, it all depends on how you look at it. You know.
But do you sense that the line of scrimmage is more crowded than it's been in years past?
Well, I mean, teams have been doing that for years to us. I mean, teams do it all the time when they suspect the run is coming. You always bring a safety down in the box. And, you know, for the most part, you know, I don't see it being done more now than any other time. It's just something that we've always seen. And I mean, as a receiver, we notice it too because that's part of our blocking responsibilities also. So, but, you know, safeties make tackles all over the field, whether it be in the secondary, behind the line of scrimmage, you know, intermediate area, guys running the ball for 5 or 6 yards. They make tackles all the time, so.
So it's got to make life a little more difficult on the offensive line, Matt. One more guy down there to block, obviously.
Yeah, you know, in a lot of cases, that one extra guy is, you know, he's unaccounted for, and that's just one of those guys that the back's told he's got to make miss, you know. Or, you know, there are times that if we have an extra guy that, you know, they're looking for him, or, you know, as Troy said, that the wide receivers are going to take different angles, try to get in there and get to him. But, yeah, that's one of the things defenses do, and they've been doing it for a long time, and, you know, you just got to deal with it.
Well, and in the past, Troy, I mean, I remember a couple games and plays stick out. The AFC title game against Pittsburgh, Troy Polamalu is one of those guys who's just naturally sneaking up there, and Deion hits him with two deep posts, and you don't got to worry about Troy Polamalu the rest of that game. And so there's obviously counters to it. Is that something that the offense is, you know, aware of and working on, trying to get those cheating safeties back?
Well, we're just always trying to scheme plays that's going to work. And, you know, you see the way guys play, and you try to, you know, put yourself in an advantageous situation. And they're doing the same thing on defense, trying to put themselves in situations where they can have the advantage. And it's just like a big chess match. And then after that, it comes down to who can execute their plays the best. And, you know, obviously last week we did a better job than Houston did at doing that.
Okay, boys, thanks for coming by. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Enjoy the fake trees.
Merry Christmas to you, too. And I'll be taking mine down nice and clean. And you get some alcohol, get the pint off your hands or whatever it takes to get it off.
Actually, yeah, the Brillo pads is what it takes. Matt, yeah. Thanks for coming by, Troy.
All right, we'll see you.
Thanks all again, guys. Merry Christmas to you and your families. Again, it is the Mike Felger Show and Patriots Friday here on 890 ESPN.
Breaks the tackle, drives it upfield to the 10, to the 5, touchdown, Benjamin Watson!
From the first round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champ.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official new replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. His authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver, face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait to fly at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed in the helmet, limited to your first book, and qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, well, Friday's turning into be a pretty good show here. It used to be really dull down here in PFW on Friday. Everybody would kind of be taking the day off as far as but now with Felger
boring.
And Troy Brown and Matt Light and all this stuff going on and me and him going at it, it's a good show.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
We're not just slapping it out there, as Bill Belichick.
And the best thing about it is Andy and Paul aren't here.
Yeah,
so that
always brightens it up.
Yeah.
Especially my mood.
Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
Looks like the boys are off the practice field early today.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, last week it was about an hour late.
Is that right?
So maybe he's
giving them a little bit of a break today. Yeah. I noticed they were in full pads, though. They weren't.
Those are shells.
That's right. Yeah. So, well, okay. I'm sticking with Tom, though. I think they're going to win this game. Patty from Ireland writes in. He says, yesterday, Andy took a beating from all the Irish emailers. I hope the Irish mob hasn't found him yet. Just for the record, I like Paul. I think he has a wealth of information. He and Gary are cool because I love his hilarious drop-ins. Tom, even though you took a few shots at me, I still think your rants are priceless, so you have a few more bad Irish jokes before I get the mob after you. Fred?
Look at that douchebag.
Fred may be an idiot, but he's such a homer, we love him anyway. And as for A-hole Hart, well, he's the Marquise Hill of PFW. He has no talent whatsoever. He has never done anything productive on the show. And like Hill, people are wondering how he is still on the roster. And that's Patty from Iowa.
Well, I think went in as a hot dog and came out as orange fire water.
I got to say something. That's a slap in the face to Marquise Hill.
Wow.
I mean, at least Hill's got to be doing something in practice. Andy Hart, he doesn't do anything. I mean, he's up there yapping like a woman all week long. He's got to come in at like 3 o'clock Friday morning to do all his work. So I think that's unfair to Marquise Hill.
Wow.
Okay. I can't disagree.
Let's see. Hey, remember Stripper, the guy that runs a strip club?
Right.
He's
getting
here.
Any yet?
Eric from Manchester. He says, move back to Manchester, New Hampshire from Florida. To answer Fred's question from last week, no, I did not book the girls for the Duke lacrosse team, but I did book girls for, shall I say, a holy football team a few years ago, and it was horrible. They had recruits in and wanted to entertain them. The backup quarterback who booked the show threatened me on the phone and demanded his money back from the girls after they danced 60 minutes. I could have taken that down the whole team if I went to the press, but I didn't.
Jackpot.
So now we're left to wonder what holy team that was.
My guess is it's Holy Cross.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of Catholic college. Boston
holy
College
crap.
Could fall into that category, you know. So, interesting, though. We'll have to send us it off the air, who it was. Josh in Jacksonville, the forecast is for rain and thunderstorms on Sunday.
Really?
Who is going to benefit? My guess is it's going to be Jacksonville. I hate to admit it, but I have to go with Jacksonville if it will be raining pretty hard. I hope that Jones-Drew doesn't have a huge game. What do you guys think?
I don't know. It's always kind of hard to say who it's going to affect more. I mean, if the Patriots are passing, it might help them because it hurts pass rush. So if they're throwing those 3- and 4-yard dink and dunk passes, I don't think the rain's really going to hurt them that much. It's always the wind. The wind is the big thing, you know, unless it's a monsoon. But I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It is hard to tell. For this game particularly, you know, usually
it's probably going to be a low-scoring slugfest anyway,
right.
So the rain's just going to add to it.
Right. The Jacksonville field is, last time I was there anyway, it was a natural grass field. Very high crown, by the way. You know how we talk about
Brady doesn't like that, right?
Jacksonville has a high crown?
Yeah. Yeah, from what I recall. It's got a pretty high crown.
And Brady doesn't like that.
He doesn't like the high crown.
Nope.
So, San Antonio, Texas, Henry. First, I'd like to know if Tom could take over for Brian Gumbel on the NFL Network. Watching the game last night, that guy messed up in some play calling.
I'll tell you.
He's good over, yeah.
I mean,
he's bad.
There's so many. I was talking to, you know, Greg Dickerson at FSN. He's filling in for Tommy Heinsohn on this West Coast trip. He's actually going to do color.
Right.
It's time. What a great opportunity for him. Excited for him. If they ever let me in an NFL booth for a game, they wouldn't let me out. They'd make me come every week.
Why is that?
Because I'd be so damn good.
Really?
Phenomenal.
As a color guy or play-by-play?
You're not even good on the radio.
Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Well, which one? Color or play-by-play?
Color. I'd be phenomenal. They would get one quarter of me, and I wouldn't.
Now, what would you do that would be so?
He would throw out, misinformation and bad facts.
Gumbel is a play-by-play guy. Now, compare yourself to Collingsworth. Would you be better than Chris Collingsworth?
I'd be a little better. He's pretty good.
Now, what are you going to bring that's going to make people?
Truth. Objectivity. Criticisms.
And misinformation.
Criticisms. I can't guarantee it's all going to be accurate.
Lying your ass off.
But it's going to be entertaining, and it's going to be what Howard Cosell did.
Lying your ass off.
Tell it like it is. 90% of these guys up in the booth will not criticize. Will not tell it like it is.
Well,
and it's one big nut scrubbing.
It's interesting you brought that up because, of course, last night's game was all about Brett Favre and all that stuff. And
you would have thought he threw for 400 yards and 6
touchdowns. And you're from Wisconsin, so when Chris Collinsworth said somewhere in the first or second quarter, all of the Packer fans hope he comes back next year. I don't think that's necessarily true.
Well, in Green Bay it is probably.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not all Packer fans. You're talking about specifically Green Bay.
Well, no,
you can go on any Packer message board at any time,
if he
and there's
says,
an argument about that.
If he
that.
Says the people of Green Bay want Brett Favre back, that's probably accurate. you know.
He said Packer fans.
But isn't there a large faction of fans who love Brett Favre, want him to, you know, expect him to go in the Hall of Fame, but want to get going with the next phase of this team?
I don't think that's the majority.
Really?
Well, then they're not. Then you know what? Their representation of being intelligent fans is not right.
Oh, whoever said they were intelligent?
I've heard that Green Bay fans are very intelligent, knowledgeable people.
Of course,
I've met you now, so I guess that pretty much puts that to bed.
I think the fans of Green Bay have great spirit and a great sort of feel and atmosphere for the game, and they're great with atmospherics, and they're fun people. It's not a nasty atmosphere. That's all good, but they don't know the game exceptionally well at all. If they did, they'd be booing Brett Favre off the field starting about 5 years ago when he started playing like an a-hole and losing games for the team.
Huh. Interesting. I thought that there was actually a pretty 50-50 debate going on about should he stay or should he go. Because I look at it like Marino in Miami. I just think he stayed around too long, and it stunted their growth.
Oh, definitely. It's definitely happening in Green Bay. Definitely.
Okay.
Same story.
Calm down, Fred.
No, I just saw blue fleece over there, and I thought all of a sudden Gary had a twin.
Gary's coming to the office and grabbing a Pepsi.
No, he's getting in some more dip.
Or whatever.
That threw Fred off his game. He's all discombobulated over there.
Oh, we got a lot of emails in here. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. When are you flying down, Mike?
Morning of, night back.
Yep. Nice. Nice, if he can do it.
Will not be seen a hotel.
Gary's gone. Have a good holiday, Gary.
Merry Christmas.
Wait a minute. Before you go, what's the schedule for next week so we can tell the listeners?
We won't be here on Tuesday.
Well, I just want it for the listeners, not for you.
Patriots Monday.
Stop telling them.
On some other station.
Thank you.
That Felger's not on.
Well done.
On Monday? Not on Monday.
Be on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
With Chris Price and Bill Burt should be riveting.
Okay, so it's our normal. So our first show will be Wednesday. We'll be back Wednesday. There's nothing going on Monday, right?
Just opening presents.
Yeah, if you're listening to
Christmas Day, Fred.
Well, I mean, I'm not Paul Perillo. You know.
Yeah, and I'm Tom Casale. You know how crazy I am. Even I'm not listening to Patriots.com radio.
I'm just
on
saying,
Christmas
just
Day.
There might be some people out there that might be coming.
And
let them know there's nothing.
They invented
going on
this thing a few years ago called girlfriends. They ought to get one.
Okay.
If they tune in, they might hear a replay of yesterday's show.
All right, good. All right, let's get back to the emails. TG in New Jersey says, I was feeling pretty bad about the Pats, and then I watched last night's Packers and Vikings game. Now I don't feel so bad.
What's the name of the quarterback on the Vikings?
Tavares Jackson.
Can't play the position.
I know. Felger can tell by just...
Yes, does not know how to play the position.
Oh, he doesn't know right now, I'll give you that much.
even close.
But Felger, he's from Alabama State, okay? Just listen to me here.
So you're saying that they don't know how to step up in the pocket
in
Alabama
State? No, I'm saying that's a low-level competition. You're not expected to come in the NFL and compete right away for a starting job.
All right, fine.
That's Brad Childress, who is a terrible NFL coach. And I said to Fred, remember a couple years ago on Thanksgiving when Parcells put in Drew Henson and it didn't work, and he brought in Testaverde because they still had a game, they could still win the game.
Yeah.
Last night, they're still in the playoff mix. They had a game they could win. You got to go back to Brad Johnson.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely, the kid has no idea how to play the position. I don't know.
We watched him on film. All he did at Alabama State was run around and throw the ball up in the air.
Oh.
That's a guy you need to coach. If you think he's going to be like a quarterback of the future, that's a 2-3 year process there. You can't have that kid go out there and play in the NFL in his first year.
Brutal.
That Childress should be ashamed of himself.
Brutal.
Wow. I love it. Let's see. So he didn't feel so bad after he watched that game. Even if the Pats lose the division to the Jets and we have to put Belichick on suicide watch, at least they aren't as bad as those two NFC teams last night. They were pathetic. Let's see. You got to figure the Jags are going to come out the Patriots like a bat out of hell. It seems like the only way the Pats can win is if the Jags screw up and make mistakes like they did last week. Doesn't look good. But given the NFL today, anything is possible. I guess the most frustrating thing with the Patriots is that there is no clear solution. There's nowhere to turn for an answer. The D seems okay, but how are you going to put points on the board? After everything that has gone on this season, I think it comes down to the poor receiving core. Even when the blitz is coming, nobody is open to dump the ball off to. Pathetic.
Wow.
Wow.
That's after a 40-7 win.
Let's see. What's this? Spoken in the low drone, monotone, depressed voice of Eeyore the donkey from Winnie the Pooh. Let's see.
I don't know what that means.
Paul is an owl. Andy is Tigger. Tom is Eeyore. Fred is Winnie the Pooh, and Gary is Christopher Robin. Merry effing Christmas, he says.
I don't know what the hell that means.
I don't either.
I don't know anything about Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, that was a good, you know, when you're little, that was a good story.
I never watched it.
Yeah. Eric says the problem with ephedrine is not people dying, it's people.
Funny just to hear him say, I don't know anything about Winnie the Pooh.
What?
He doesn't know anything.
It's a badge of honor for him.
I don't know anything about Winnie the Pooh.
Because even when he was four, he was miserable. You know,
he was gambling.
He was gambling when he was four.
I have time to watch Winnie the Pooh. I was down a couple hundred.
I put $4 on Batman over Robin. The problem with ephedrine is not people dying. It's guys using it to cook up meth. That's why it's now only sold in packs of 24 or less instead of bottles of 60.
First of all, it's not sold. It's illegal in the United States.
You're talking about ephedra?
Yeah. And unless you're me, you can't get it.
And why do you get it?
Because
you on crystal meth?
He has a guy.
Because I take ephedrine, because I'm not going to let George Bush push me around with his stupid laws that he passes every week, his knee-jerk reactions. Ephedrine shouldn't be illegal.
Why do you take it?
To lose weight, get energy.
For what? Are you training for something?
No. I just don't want to be fat like some other people around
here. Guillermo has a non-football-related question. He says he's moving to Boston, and he's wondering if he can name a nice place to live. That's a big question.
He's moving
Boston. Where you're working.
Unless
Boston's a great, if you can afford.
Yeah, are you Felger or are you me? Because if you're me, you can't live in Boston.
Yeah, Gamera will have to get a little bit more information. Where you're going to be working. Do you have a family? We need
yeah,
more.
Yeah, you can't just, we don't have enough to go on.
Dave writes in, he says, Felger has been getting crazier and crazier lately, perhaps coinciding with his radio show.
I agree with that.
I have the impression that he's trying to become the Jim Cramer of sports.
What have I said that is crazy?
Frothing at the mouth and sensationalizing every issue to make things exciting and controversial.
For example?
I don't know. You have to ask Dave. I'll go on.
Wait, Dave?
Tom just said he
Dave, how many radio shows that aren't exciting and controversial do you listen to? Because there's this guy out there, I've heard of him. Was it Howard Stern?
Right.
Didn't he make $150
million?
$500 million to do whatever? So you can't go on the radio and just be boring.
But it's
not going to work.
But I'm not sure what I've said that's so outrageous.
Well, anyway, he says, I don't have much respect for his approach, so I'm pretty down on him. He says a lot of things in his show that are to some extent insulting or disrespectful to Belichick and the players.
Oh.
And
the players talk to him every week.
Kind of.
Well, some of them.
Sometimes.
let's see. He also says about Walter, there seems to be a lot of different views on whether Walter did a good job or not. I hear some commentators saying he was really good. You said he was bad. If I understand you correctly, do you agree with my view? Can you pull out the numbers and try to come to a conclusion on Walter?
Yeah, two weeks ago he had a 29.0 net punting average. I can get kids in high school to come here and do that. That's terrible. Whoever you heard, I want a name who said Ken Walter's been punting good.
I think his first couple games he did all right, and then he went back.
No, he punted it 25 yards in the air, and they couldn't return it.
He
sucks.
Terrible.
I said he started out okay, and then he went downhill.
When was he okay?
The first game he was back,
popped up two straight in the air that were fair caught.
That's exactly what it was, Fred. I do the matchup winners. I know what his average is every week. He's terrible.
All right. On the phone is Jamie from Houston. Jamie, how you doing?
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, guys.
Good.
Merry Christmas.
What's up?
Not a whole lot. What's the word you're hearing on our injured? Is there a good chance we're expecting Rodney to show up and get ready for the playoffs yet, or what?
I would doubt he'd play this week. Probably next week.
Oh, is that what the word on the street is?
I don't know. It's just what I'm saying. I would doubt that he's going to play this week.
Good to know.
What would you think? I would think it's probably wise to start working him in. I mean, maybe not even a full game, but at least get him up to game speed.
I agree with that, but I don't know if at his point in his career, if that's going to make that much of a difference. I'm sure, from a stamina standpoint, I'm sure he's been trying to keep in shape. I think they'll play him next week to do exactly what you said, kind of get him back in there. But I don't know. I think they might sit him out this week.
Yeah. And what do you think about as far as locker room intensity goes? Is it all about business? Tom and the guys, have you been in there? What are you seeing from the interviews? Do these guys look a little bit more focused, or are they less focused?
Well, as soon as I find someone in there, I'll let
you
know.
I'm on the line. Is there an emergency?
What's going on over there? You at the drive-up window at Wendy's?
Well, no, I run a security operation, so I'm getting people calling me. But
you run a security operation
like the CIA?
You're calling in this show.
That's right. Well, I'm trying to be on lunch, too, but, you know, you don't really have a lunch time. You don't really have a break.
People are robbing the building, and Jamie's on the phone with PFW in progress.
Hey, the fire in the building can wait. I got to get my Patriots fixed.
That's
Come
cool.
On.
Oh, no, that's boy. Cool.
I got to understand.
Well, I mean, they've been really quiet this week, Jamie. There's they're back to the us against everybody mentality, which is good. This is exactly what we want.
It works when you have talented players.
Well, yeah, it works best. I agree.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Again, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
All right. See you. Cool. That's Jamie from Houston. We didn't get to ask him about what people are saying about the game last week, but
who
I don't
cares?
Think we really care.
Yeah.
No. Brian says, don't read this on the air, so I won't. Okay.
Is it good?
Although he'll read it on the air and just not say anything.
Yeah. Hey, Fred. Hey, Fred, go to the next email.
This is radio, Fred.
I don't know.
Let's see. Oh, this... Another Felger email says, I'm betting the Pro Bowl article has nothing to do with Seymour shunning Felger. Why shouldn't Felger take some responsibility for the Herald's headlining Belichick's personal problems? That approach doesn't help the team win, just stresses the coach out. Doesn't the Herald want the team to win? I think that's why the players are pissed at Felger. Also, see my earlier... Oh, so this is the same person.
Felger has no decision-making in that process.
Do you think... I have
none.
Anything to do with the track and what they do with
and
their
And the
time?
Boston Herald doesn't give a damn if the Patriots win. They want to sell newspapers. They don't care about the team.
Grow up.
Let's see. Shannon says, I just wanted to wish everyone a happy holiday season. I can't wait for my Christmas present to be open, which is a big can of whoop-ass to be open on the Jags.
Well,
okay.
Maybe Shannon has too much for this program.
Shannon is our emailer with the hot girlfriend.
Yeah?
He sent us pictures of her.
But he's a he.
36D. Yeah,
that's
he's
if you're
he.
Saying if she was a she, no, then we're talking.
He's a he. She has 36 Ds.
Oh. And we have pictures?
Yeah.
Can we fire them off here?
I don't know where they are now. Gary probably has them somewhere. Pratt from Germantown, Maryland. Do you guys have any idea if there are going to be any credible free agent wide receivers available in the market for next season? Ask Mike. He's got the list.
Yeah, there's nobody. Does Brian Bennett do it for you, Tennessee?
Drew Bennett.
He's on Paul's list.
He's not on mine.
There's one more.
For a very specific reason.
No, he's on Paul. You know, Paul's special team that he has.
Chad Curtis in St. Louis?
He's on my list, too, for the same reason Bennett is. Let's see if he can figure it out.
Okay. basically, there's nobody.
Okay.
If they want, those are the top two names on every list that I've seen.
Kevin Curtis.
Kevin Curtis, thank you.
And if you think he's going to change your offense, then you're kidding yourself.
Who do you realistically see the Pats going after, considering they have a laundry list that the wide receiver must match up with? I'm pretty sure they'll hold on to Rashay Caldwell, but you know why? That's they make fun of Tom. We had a sure-handed down the field kind of receiver. Please let me know who the possible prospects are. Well,
I've already looked at it. Curtis and Bennett are the two top guys in free agency, which is freaking frightening. If they want to get a guy, they got to trade.
Well, maybe there'll be some receiver like Deion Branch who holds out on his team, and there will be a trade. I'd give up a first-round pick for Steve Smith. Right.
Really?
Now. Yeah.
Wow.
I'd give up both of them.
Boy, you should be the GM of the Patriots,
well,
Fred. I'd give up my left arm for Steve Smith.
And would you make him the highest-paid receiver in the NFL? Because
I'd make him the
highest-paid
player in the NFL.
Is that what you would do, Fred? Manager
he's
guy?
That good.
That's a tough one. It depends on
you give Brady.
Depends on the length of the contract and how much of it is guaranteed.
You give Brady
blah, blah, blah.
Steve Smith, you couldn't stop this offense.
But I do a lot to get Steve Smith. Let's just put it that
Fred,
way.
Fred, I'd give a first-round draft pick for Steve Smith. What an idiot.
How old is Steve Smith? Do we know? Is he over 30?
No.
You sure?
Positive.
Okay.
Doug from Blackstone. I want to give a shout-out to Patriots Nation and say happy holidays. I was thrilled to hear about the puncher signing. Can't believe he was available. In this time of good cheer in celebration, I think Tom and Andy should repent their sin of insulting the fans from Ireland that know what a great product Guinness Stout is. People who drink light beer should just get it free from the faucet. I agree.
Well,
with that.
First of all,
brilliant.
There's two things here. One, I haven't been insulting people from Ireland. Andy has. Two, I just said I didn't like Guinness Stout. So if that's insulting for people from Ireland, I don't know.
Have you tried it?
Yes, I have, Fred. three.
Half the time, these guys, they say they don't like things they never tried.
Three, Fred, I have something that they call diabetes. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Okay.
So I have to drink light beer because Guinness Stout will put me in a coma for about 10 days. So that's the other reason.
Steve Smith is 27.
Okay. I stand by my first round draft pick.
Right. Fred's even willing to throw in a sixth.
Now you know if Maroney will be available for the game. I think he is the key to our playoff hopes. I agree a lot with Doug about that.
Fred, you seem to have all the answers.
I think Maroney will play in this game.
You and Charlie Casserly?
Yeah, ask him. He knows everything.
Well, he either talked to Charlie Casserly or Mike Reese.
Boy, he went out of his way, Belichick did, to nail him again.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's good. Al writes in, greetings from Jacksonville. I'll be at the game Sunday. Bring your rain gear. Looks like a rare event around here this weekend. Mostly storms just blow through and the sun comes back out right away. But this thing looks like it wants to camp out here for a while.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh.
See, I thought it was, when he said it was going to rain, I figured it was just going to be one of those Florida things where it leaves.
I like the Pats' chances this weekend. We can stop the Jags running attack. And generally, I like the Pats in a win and we are in situation. I really can't recall the last time the Pats backed into the postseason. Usually we win a game and qualify. And, yes, please leave Ray Hamilton alone about the stable or roughing call. Besides, that call was officially traded off against the tuck rule play. We've been even with the Raiders since 01.
No, I mean, I didn't go there. I just asked in the context of roughing the passer. But it is, you know, Steve Nelson has been saying this for years, even before it got goofy the last couple of years with the roughing the passer. Steve Nelson says that was roughing, and especially the way they called it today. It was a clear...
Nelson said then it was roughing?
He's been saying ever since I've been listening to Steve Nelson on the radio, and that's going on 20 years now, he has always maintained that wasn't that bad of a call. Ray Hamilton hit stable.
The other thing about it is, you know, that wasn't the last play of the game.
No,
Patriots still had a chance to stop them after that, and they didn't.
But Steve always says... But in the manner in which the game was called at that time, in that era...
Yes.
It was a ticky-tack call.
Yeah.
But if Ray Hamilton did that today,
even
10 years ago.
He came down on the guy.
He hit his head clearly after the ball was out, and it would be a flag 100 times out of 100 here.
Yeah. Now, remember in the 01 Super Bowl when Vrabel hit...
categorically.
That was much worse than what Ray Hamilton did, and they didn't call it.
Yeah.
You know, Patriots got away with that one, actually got an interception on it and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So. Let's see. Dave writes in, why in the heck did the Pats sign Sauerbrunn? Well, because they needed a punter.
Yeah.
he is a steroids pusher, and at best, it has always been a problem on teams he's been on.
So Hart and Casale are, you know,
they're going to love him.
They have a source.
Yeah.
I don't mind if he takes steroids, as long as he's punting well.
He couldn't cut it in Denver, the New Oakland Raiders club, and obviously...
Oh, that's not true, though.
What?
That he couldn't cut it in Denver. He wasn't released because of his punting ability.
No, but for whatever reason, he was. The new Oakland Raiders club, and obviously he was involved in some dispute with John Fox in Carolina. I know he's statistically a very good sound punter, but I just don't get this move. Also, it's a good thing we don't have a Gramatica as a kicker. Do you guys remember how badly Sauerbrunn ripped the Gramatica brothers? Anyways, I also have some Christmas presents for you guys. Fred, a George Foreman grill so you can grill those gridiron grillers leaner and lose some holiday poundage. Andy, a Bowflex so you can gain the pounds back from the epic loss of muscle you've been undergoing. There's only one thing that's going to help him, and it's what Sauerbrunn
does.
Paul Perillo, a cleaning lady like Costanza for your upstairs. Tom Casale, a 70-inch HDTV for your house along with a home gym and options to email articles to Fred. You will never have to leave the house.
I'm all for that.
And even one for Kyle, a microphone which will be much better than the make-believe one you use all the time. Because Kyle never talks.
Yeah, and the Sauerbrunn thing with I think the Patriots, they only have to deal with him for a couple of weeks. So it's not that big of a deal. Because I don't think he probably won't be on the team next year. So you bring in a guy who can punt for a couple of weeks, then you're done with him. So if he can cause trouble in a couple of weeks, then, you know, what are you going to do?
Dr. Z writes in, considering the subject of steroids was talked about quite a bit to start the show, I know what's been happening to Corey Dillon after his runs. It's the same thing that happened to Dwight Freeney last Monday night and maybe much of the year for him. Did anyone notice that after each and every time Freeney sped at the quarterback at 100 miles an hour, he fell down to one knee and looked like he was going to die? Sweating profusely, he even had to be helped up several times. Interesting, he finally had his big game of the year. Roids, both of them. Dillon gets his burst, then the adrenaline winds down and he needs to rest. Repeat. Power lifters exhibit the same behavior, and they're the ones on this stuff the most.
I'm with Felger.
I know Freeney has had a bad year.
I think,
or an off year.
I think if, like if a higher power came down and gave us a list of every athlete that was on steroids, fans across the country would be crying themselves to sleep.
Well, they'd have to cancel the season.
Yeah. I mean, in every sport, you would be shocked at some of the names on that list.
Another Tom fan here. We'll close it out with this one. Anyone who hates Tom doesn't have a pulse. He is so funny and has great football insight. At any rate, I have fun topics for Friday. Who right now, in your guys' opinion, will win the Super Bowl and why? And on which two positions will the Patriots use their two first-round picks? P.S., the rest of you guys are great, too, except Andy. Tell him to hit the weight room again. He's not looking so good.
Boy, what a great email that was. I guess you got to go with the Chargers right now. I know they still have the young quarterback there. That could be a problem. But that front seven, Tomlinson, the running game, you know, that's going to be tough to stop. I don't know who they're going to draft. Probably a tight end and an offensive guard.
We'll see.
And I get criticized for taking shots.
I think they'll do whatever's best for the team. That's what I think.
But never based on need, because remember, they never do that.
Right. All right, well, that's going
to
be it.
You know, Fred, and I'd like to say Merry Christmas to all our emailers and to you and Felger and for everyone who likes me. And I know there's people who don't like me, and for those people, I hope you burn in hell.
I love it. Great holiday feeling.
Christmas cheer, yeah.
Same goes to me except for the last part, but, you know.
Well, there's a plenty of people who don't like you.
I ignore it. They don't, and it's all because of you guys. You've tainted the well.
Tell your listeners to tune into 890ESPN.com for Patriots Friday.
All right. I'll do what you just said.
4 o'clock.
Okay.
Or Patriots.com.
Do that.
Oh, yeah, you can do that on Patriots.com.
Yeah.
There you go.
And until Wednesday, have a good one over the weekend, and we'll all celebrate a big, big Patriots win on Wednesday.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield to the